So everybody is being told to leave the area right now here on the beach. The tiki bar is being cleared out. All of these things are being cleared out. It's being roped off right now. They're asking that everybody vacate the area and leave immediately. You can see the smoke. I don't know if you can, the smoke in the sky. But we were just walking on the beach and we saw smoke everywhere. And we're being informed that there's major, major cartel violence happening right now all over Puerto Vallarta. Apparently, they've captured a top-ranking cartel member. And when that happens, all-out war happens. A number of cars have been set on fire, motorcycles set on fire. In fact, there were some attendees of Anarcapoco who were in a taxi cab. Taxi drivers are apparently targeted by the cartel. They were they had their car shot at. The taxi driver was murdered, and the car was set on fire. All of their luggage has been burnt, including their clothes and passports, in fact. So it's a pretty scary, dire situation right now. We're being told, do not go out at all. Do not walk in the streets. Do not get in a taxi or an Uber. Do not go to the airport. In fact, the entire airport may be shut down right now because of this cartel violence. I mean, we heard Trump mentioning a while back that he's going to go after the cartel in Mexico. Is this the beginning of that? Are we witnessing it live? I don't know, but everybody here has just been instructed to leave the area immediately. The entire beach here is being shut down. It's clearing out. And really, really intense situation going on here in Puerto Vallarta. So I'm going to continue to document this as we do. We're going to stay safe in our hotel. I don't know if you can see the smoke in the air, but it's all over the place. It's thinned out now in the last hour, but apparently, from what I understand, there's a whole bunch of cartel violence happening all over the city right now. We don't fly out until tomorrow, but hopefully it's not going to be an issue for us, because as it is right now, the airports might even be shut down. I hear the military is getting involved. Some of these cartel have, in the past, shot down military helicopters because they literally own rocket launchers. So this is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. Again, everybody is being forced to vacate the bar, the beach area, and smoke in the air. Major situation here in Puerto Vallarta.
We are live here. It is Monday, February 23rd, I believe, here at the American Journal. Obviously, it's all insane in Mexico right now. There was a report that El Mecho's son was captured as well. I think there's some helicopter footage of the Mexican government looking at that, pulling him in. We've got the president of Mexico has left the country. She's on a boat, because she's probably in fear for her life, because she was probably told that, we have to keep, she has a deal with these people. She lets them deal drugs. She backs them up. And then they keep the country running smooth. And so what we're seeing now in Mexico, it's kind of spreading all over the country, is the cartel saying, no, we control this land. This is what happens when your society breaks down. And if you want to see the future of the United States, this is what you're looking at. You're looking at a city that, or a country that has money and has nice resources, but it's controlled by criminals. And if we continue to let criminals control our country, this is what it's going to descend into.
Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X, For every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, all that's left, get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexshowstore.com.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Between 1999 and 2002, when she was underage, she was forced to have sex with Prince Andrew on several occasions. What was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, knowing him as I know him, and he's one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life, and my best friend, and great father to my children, I just thought, I don't understand in this day and age how people can make salacious lies up. This is defamation of character of a person that is the opposite to how he's being portrayed.
Prince Andrew have a nickname at that time?
It was called the c***. Plain and simple, because unfortunately, he upset everyone he come across. He was the most unpopular member of the royal family while I was there. And he was just rude, arrogant. I mean, his sense of self-entitlement was breathtaking.
The Epstein fallout, raining like molten disgust from the sky, is so widespread that the panic amongst the normies has cracked wide open, while the scramble to close Pandora's box by the ghoulish establishment continues to ramp up. The pseudo-British monarchy, pseudo because they are actually German, is again under fire as King Charles, longtime pal of the late cadaver-raping pedophile Jimmy Savile, watches his disgraced brother Prince Andrew get hauled in by police amid the latest Epstein file dumps. The UK elite, essentially a pedo class at this point.
Oh, no, some people want the age of consent to be 4.
What? What country's this?
UK, our nation, yes.
What?
If you look at the people who are involved in the paedophile information exchange, which was most, had most of its power probably from the 70s onwards, 80s, 90s, they had funding from the Home Office in the 90s. Mm. Those people are still around. In fact, one of the members of the paedophile information exchange is the treasurer of Edinburgh Pride. Some of them are academics, and they look very, very, you know, professional as they're talking about the importance of, you know, giving children their own autonomy.
Tom O'Carroll is a self-confessed, unrepentant pedophile and one of the founding members of the Pedophile Information Exchange. He now shies away from advocating the age of 4. Too easily misunderstood, he says.
The age of 4 came into it insofar as children by that age are normally verbal and can normally say whether they are liking a particular kind of activity or not.
A proclivity passed down from the late Lord Mountbatten Windsor to his pedo relatives.
To the royal family, he was irreplaceable, especially to Prince Charles, who grew up under Mountbatten's watchful eye. But there's one lesson Charles never knew he was being taught. How to hide desire in plain sight. Because Mountbatten was married, but not monogamous, not straight, and not harmless. A 1944 FBI file described him as a homosexual with a perversion for young boys. That wasn't just American paranoia. British intelligence, too, noted that Mountbatten had a lust for working-class youth, often teenage naval cadets, the kind who couldn't say no. In the 1970s, guests at his Broadlands estate described weekends filled with entertainment that rarely included his wife.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was arrested on his ominous 66th birthday of suspicion of misconduct in public office tied to his Epstein connections and espionage against the state that can carry a life sentence.
Ghislaine Maxwell's family have seen fit to comment. Astonished to see Andrew Mountbatten Windsor arrested today over alleged misconduct in public office linked to material from the so-called Epstein files. You are related to a woman who has been charged with sex trafficking crimes, and you are saying allegedly called the Epstein files. He is entitled to the presumption of innocence and a fair process. What fair process have any of the victims of your relative, Ghislaine Maxwell, received?
Andrew was held for 12 hours, then released under investigation, with cops raiding his former homes the next day. Fresh emails show him allegedly sharing sensitive UK government information about trips to Southeast Asia and Afghan investments with Epstein back in 2010 to 2011 during his trade rep days.
Now they're releasing photos out of the Epstein file of him with fake breasts with babies, playing with babies on the ground with fake breasts. And there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails all about how do we get babies to suck better? Well, you play a tape with their mama when they're real hungry. You stick it in their mouth. This is training aids to get the babies to willingly approach you. Oh, you like playing with that breast, that fake rubber breast? Here's the breast right here for you. So you give them a fake breast with milk in it or whatever. They used to suck it on that, and they just bring them over, and now suck on this. And I'm sorry to be gross, but that's what Ted Gunderson told me they did 30 years ago. Now it's in the files.
Do you, sir, believe that these dreadful allegations of babies being sacrificed are true?
I absolutely believe it, without any doubt. Based on the information that's been given to me across the country by numerous survivors and by confidential sources and informants.
Then why didn't you name these people and arrest them? Never a name, never an arrest. These women come out of a group and they insist that they know the people in the group, and yet they do not identify these large, mysterious cults. Name them and arrest them and get them off the street.
Does he not make a valid point?
He makes a valid point. The problem with that is, number one, police officers don't believe it. I may believe it. You may believe it. Some people in your audience may believe it. They don't believe it. Number two, if you decide to investigate these people, you have to, number one, handle it from an undercover operation. If you put an undercover operation into effect, then you have, in a sense, your own police officers become involved in these heinous crimes, and they are, of course, become murderers.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
The Epstein saga, there's all kind of interesting videos that dropped over the weekend. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, which one do I want to go to first? And I think what we're going to do is go to, there was a plan, Carl Higbee's reporting from Newsmax, of a conversation with Jeffrey Epstein, and they were going to remove Donald Trump from office, you know, using the 25th Amendment. And they had to get, Mike Pompeo on board. And so I don't know how much of this Trump knows now or how much he knew at the time. This is clip 27. And so this kind of jumps away from the sex trafficking. And then we're going to get back into it because they're finding all kinds of people. A chief of staff of a Republican state senator in Alaska was arrested for child sex trafficking. There's a D.C. Democrat running for Congress charged with distributing pornography. So it's going around. We're getting to the dregs. Now, are we going to find everybody? No, it seems like these are low-level people, low-level Renfields that are getting caught up in these sweeps and people starting to ask questions and look at things. But let's go to this report from Carl Higbee over at Newsmax and the conversation with Jeffrey Epstein on removing Donald Trump from office.
Why was he talking about replacing Trump, swapping Pompeo as the VP with Mike Pence, and then using the 25th Amendment to make Pompeo the president? These are text messages with what is assumed to be Epstein, confirmed to be with Bannon. Quote, "I like the idea of Pence stepping down in favor of Pompeo, so when it happens, happens, he becomes president. That's from allegedly Epstein. And I'm thinking, it? What do you mean by it? Bannon responding, that is his name, has this been shopped? Epstein replies, Rudy did lay out impeachment, Pelosi vote, and don't go after Ivanka. Bannon says, great. Great. Impeaching Trump? Well, I mean, we now know Pompeo was not a product of MAGA doctrine and was heavily critical of Trump once he left his first term showing his true colors, and Bannon wanted him to become president? Am I reading that? There's a possibility that Bannon did nothing wrong and these are being misinterpreted. There's a possibility, giving him the benefit of the doubt here, considering he was, like, I defended this guy. I thought he was good for the administration initially. But there's some splaining to do about beyond talking about a documentary to revitalize Jeffrey Epstein's image. A lot of people have a lot of explaining to do, way beyond the island, way beyond sexual assault and all those, and rape and all those things. The more this stuff comes out, the more people keep getting caught in stuff that makes people like me question absolutely everything. Everything is now up for question. Mostly proving that Trump and all the conspiracy theorists, we were right about a ton of stuff. Keep in mind, first it was the redactions, okay? We couldn't get all the files. They were redacting them, and then they redacted Les Wexner. Now he's being deposed. Then, when they finally did release all the files, because it was such turmoil to get these things out, once they finally released all those things, they put them up on the government website in such a manner that makes it so difficult to search anything. Something, you have data that spreads out over thousands of pages, but you can only have 10 links per page, so you can only search 10 at a time, and there are hundreds of thousands of links
and,
to link.
And let's not forget, who was in charge of, who was the Secretary of State? It was Pompeo was the Secretary of State. He led the CIA and then became Secretary of State during all this, and he was the one who also came out and said, oh, there's nothing wrong with this election in 2020. All these people were in on it. And so, you know, people are like, well, why are you, defend Trump and all this? It seems like Trump is the one being attacked. They don't like him for some reason. I don't know if we'll ever find out why. But it seems like they're hell-bent on getting him out of office, and the 2020 election was the key to it. And I'm going to go to a clip in a little bit. We'll finish this up. But this is like a remember. I remember when this clip came out. It was Jesse Morgan, a trucker, who was talking about 2020 ballots that he was driving from New York to Pennsylvania that were already filled out. And then the truck disappeared. You know, just how it happens. Let's continue with the report.
Individual pages. It would take one person a lifetime to get through a fraction of it. It takes forever. But you know what? Thank God we got the internet and we got crowdsourcing. And I always tell people at home, you want to be a part of the solution, get on there and start looking this stuff up. Because there's a ton of stuff out there. And if we as citizens don't force our government to be transparent, voting's a suggestion. And you know what's crazy, folks? Is normally we come out of these monologues and we have a guest for you. We reached out to dozens and dozens and dozens of conservatives. And you know how many wanted to come on and talk about it with me? Zero. Tells you we're hovering over the target.
So, you know, you've got this conspiracy going on. How much did Steve Bannon know? Alex Jones came out on Saturday. This is a short clip. He might dropped an F-bomb or two because it's the Saturday show over at the Alex Jones Network. And he's basically saying Steve Bannon needs to come clean on, he's mainly talking about the Epstein, on his Epstein situation. But yeah, where is Bannon lying around in all this stuff? How much did he know? And then when he got outed, people were thinking it was other outsiders pushing him out. Maybe it was Trump pushing him out. Maybe Trump got wind of what he was trying to do. But here is, here's clip 25. And this is Alex like laying down the law on a guy that he's, you know, Alex has been on his show many times, had him on his show. So he wants him to come clean. Here it is.
the people in the war room.
Yeah.
And I'm not like some talk show. It's like, God, war room's in trouble. I'll get more viewers. We need all of that. God, he was legislatively battling every little area, mobilizing. Like, he was kicking ass for us. Here's what I think. He was a social climber, political guy, smart, got in, kissed the ass of the system, got in overall, I think, as a populist patriot, but wore the ring of Mordor. And then he knew this was coming out years ago, so he really proved himself. Him and Epstein talk about, I'm going to be this media guy, so I'm going to counter. He told Epstein that too. So he wanted to reprove himself ahead of all this, but the network's so important that people would forgive him for this. Steve, you need to spill your guts, and I think you'll be forgiven, because I think I get the picture of what you did, but you need to tell us that's what it is, or you're fried, bro. You're fucked. I mean, you're fucked.
All right, we'll pull it out there.
And, you know.
That was Alex Jones on a Saturday show. You can catch those Saturday shows at Real Alex Jones and at AJN Live on X. And they also appear on Rumble. And, yeah, what we need is I would even be for, because I don't think any of these people are going to go to jail anyway. Let's give them a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Let everybody come through, spill their guts. Then we know exactly what happened in the election, in COVID. Because I don't see any accountability happening at this point. I'd rather at least get the truth. And then we don't allow these people to participate in those businesses ever again. Like they're kind of exiled from society. But we're not going to hang you, you know. But, you know, is that going to happen anyway? I don't know. I was alluding to this before. This is Jesse Morgan, who's a trucker, who gets up and does this press conference. And to me, this was like, how is this not the biggest news in America? And it just, you know, went on OAN and a couple other places. Fox News probably played it. And then it just, you know, shuffled away. Mainstream media didn't report it, so it didn't exist. And, let's hear what he has to say. This is an old clip.
So, in total, I saw 24 Gaylords, or large cardboard containers of ballots loaded into my trailer. These Gaylords contain plastic trays. I call them totes, but trays will work, of ballots stacked on top of each other. All the envelopes were the same size. I could see the envelopes had handwritten addresses, return addresses, and I could even tell that one was marked registered mail. That one was off to the side, all right? They were complete ballots. I didn't think much of it at the time. At Bethpage, I was first loaded with two tall Gaylords. So picture that thing there, or this little representation here, but this tall, all right?
So a double Gaylord.
I was loaded with two tall Gaylords, okay? And that had mixed mail pieces bound for Lancaster. These Gaylords were loaded first because they would be the last off my trailer. The remainder of the truck was loaded with complete ballots bounded for Harrisburg. I then drove to Harrisburg with the ballots. Usually I offload in one of the seven docks every day, but not on October 21st. I wasn't allowed to offload. That's different. Whenever I pull in the Harrisburg, I go around and I get my dock and I get unloaded and then I roll out. Not that day, all right? Not that day. Instead, I was made to wait for roughly 6 hours in the yard from 9:15 a.m. to 3 p.m. This really ticked me off, all right, because my brother was in town. He just moved back up, and I wanted to spend some time with him. I tried to get the attention of postal workers, but no one would tell me what's going on. All of this was weird. I arrived at about the same time every day. The expediter scans all my seals and barcodes, and they unload me. But for the first time, but from the time I first arrived in Harrisburg from Bethpage, everything got weird. None of that happened. After waiting 6 hours, I went inside to figure out what's going on. I was told to wait for the transportation supervisor. This was also weird. 16 months I've been doing this. I haven't ever talked to the transportation supervisor for United States Postal Service. I talk to an expediter. I come in, I see an expediter. That's who I deal with. If I have an issue, it's the expediter. I don't deal with anyone else but the expediter. I never, never talk to the United States Postal Service's transportation supervisor. Let's make that clear. I have my own transportation supervisor for the company that I work for. He's the one that gives me the details. He's the one that I listen to. I don't listen to this guy. He's the guy that would contact my boss if he needed something ran different. I've never spoken with this transportation supervisor from the United States Postal Service. They don't speak to people like me. He's a top guy. He's the kind of guy that would speak to my boss, not a trucker like me. The supervisor told me to drive to Lancaster without being unloaded in Harrisburg. This made no sense to me. I knew the ballots were loaded for Harrisburg, and that if I was to go to Lancaster, they would have to off unload my ballot or those pallets in Lancaster to take off Lancaster stuff to put the ballots back on the trailer to send them back to Harrisburg. Doesn't make no sense.
Yeah, let's pause for a second. So you got a guy who does his job. He's been doing it for months. He knows how, a lot of people do these jobs like trucking. You know, there's a certain system that's followed. And you load stuff up. The first thing that goes on is the last thing coming off, which you said in the beginning. And if you look at Pennsylvania, it's a big square. And in the center of the state's Harrisburg and kind of southeast of that would be Lancaster, as they say. So and he's coming from New York, New Jersey area, coming down in, hitting Harrisburg first, supposed to drop off ballots. And I was like, oh, no. You're going to take all these to Harrisburg or to Lancaster County, which is interestingly enough where all the Amish are. And the Amish were pro-Trump, especially in the last election. I don't know how much they were in the previous election. Maybe they were staying out of it. Maybe they did vote. But they were bringing ballots, and he gets to it. How much time we have left on this clip? Okay. We'll get to the other side of this where he talks about what's in on the ballots, because he says, he looked at the ballots. They're already filled out. So these are ballots he's supposed to bring so people could fill them out, and they run them through the machines. Like when you go to a normal election, you get a blank ballot, you fill it out. Some of these you fill out by hand, some of them you fill them out with computer, and then the ballot pops out, and then you give it to the election person. They put it in the ballot box, and then it gets counted, which is, honestly, it's a weird way to do elections. It should automatically, when you put that ballot in, boom, you should start seeing totals coming up. So they can't do this stuff behind the scenes, but they keep everything held up. And it's like, oh, we're government workers. We know what to do. We're going to put cardboard up. You can't see us counting because we don't want you to look at the process. You just have to trust the results. And this is what happens. You get things that don't work out right. And a trucker goes, hey, man, this ain't right. So we'll finish this story when we come back.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexshowstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, ultramethylene blue, at thealexshowstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
it's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked. It's showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, good morning. Second half of the first hour of the American Journal is now live. You're listening to me, Rob Due, here in the InfoWars studios. We are still on the air here. The Central Texas Command Center. And it was, I think, June 2024, the first time they tried to scam their way and kick us out of this building. Didn't work. And they tried again with an auction. That didn't work. A fake auction. Even the federal judge said that was not an auction. You know, they could say, oh, well, we did this. We had everything. We had all our ducks in a row. The judge is, we're going to own InfoWars. Hey, the Onion people get on and say they owned InfoWars. Yeah, there he is right behind me. Right there. Letting the sink in. That was, we were out of here for a day. They cut off the internet. And saying, I'm a federal agent. You will cut off this internet. And here we are. Still here. Thanks to you out there. Because the reason we're here, still providing news and analysis, is because people like you look at the mainstream media, look at what's going on out there, and you go, hey, we're not getting the truth. We're going to go back to our trucker video I misplaced it. I started putting new things up, but there it is. There he is. Jesse Morgan. I almost called him John Morgan. Jesse Morgan. Just a good old trucker. A good old trucker trying to deliver his load so he can go hang out with his brother, and he's getting messed with. He's getting messed with by people higher up than him that shouldn't be talking to him. And that's the interesting thing about the way systems work. You know, their systems have a process. And when the process gets turned, well, especially when it's ruining your day for some reason and holding you up from being efficient, you're like, man, what's going on? Oh, well, let me open up this truck and see what's in the back here. Let's see what's going on back here. Let's see what's in these Gaylords. So let's finish it up. Sorry for the Beavis and Butthead humor this morning, but when he said the tall Gaylord, I almost lost it. And so did the crew out there. They all started laughing too. So let's finish up with Jesse Morgan's tale that we never really heard about.
This was a real screw up in my thinking. I wanted my ticket. So whenever I go to a place, whenever I'll leave, I'll get a ticket. I'll get a ticket, a slip, whatever you want to call it. It's the date, time that I'm supposed to be there. It'll have my trailer number on it. It'll have how much I'm loaded. It'll have the seal number. It has my name. It'll have who was the expediter. So I wanted my ticket, my slip. I call them tickets. Some people call them slips, okay? And then because I was there for 6 hours, I wanted my late slip too, because I wanted to be paid for sitting in that yard for 6 hours. So I wanted the ticket and the late slip for stopping in at Harrisburg. Also, I wanted it because if they're telling me to take this load to Lancaster, I don't want to pull up the Lancaster of Harrisburg crap and be like, yeah, they just told me to be or come here and not have no ticket, because they don't look like I just came straight here, you know? Just to prove that I was there. And so others would know I wasn't the person that screwed this up. A ticket is always provided to a driver when they arrive at a United States Postal Service facility. It proves you were there. The transportation supervisor refused to give me a ticket and told me to leave. I then demanded he give me a late slip, since I wanted to get paid for the time I was sitting there and waiting for them to offload me. He refused to give me that too. He was kind of rude and wouldn't explain anything to me. He just told me to go to Lancaster. I then drove to Lancaster, unhooked my trailer in its normal place, and then drove my truck to where I always park it, in a nearby lot, and then I went home. The next day, it just got weirder. As I arrived at Lancaster, at Lancaster's United States Postal Service facility, with my tractor, I went to hook up to my trailer, and my trailer was gone. Not there no more. 10R1440. Since I started driving that Bethpage route, I've always had trailer 10R1440. I like that trailer. It was a nice trailer. I know you guys probably don't really know nothing about truck driving or trailers or anything, but the rear tandems had if you're driving light, the rear tandems will actually, the front axle will actually go up. Nice air ride. The doors on it were, it worked great. Some of the trailers that place has, you could honestly put it on the back of a carrier and drop it off in the middle of the ocean and no one would worry about it. So that trailer I really liked, okay?
Hit pause. Just so you can tell this guy's story is authentic and he's not just some dude making it up on the fly, because he's bringing up weird details like how he likes the trailer. Okay? That's a trucking thing. You know, some guys don't like certain tires. You know, they don't like retread tires. They like brand new tires. They like the way the refrigerator thing hums, you know, if they're, they call it a reefer unit, actually. Don't laugh, guys. It's literally called a reefer. And they like, some of them like the way some of them sound, like the compressor up there sounds better. It helps them sleep better. Like there's all kind of weird. I've done documentaries on trucking. Like truckers are weird about stuff like this. That's how you know this guy's story is authentic all the way through. And he's just like, and he doesn't understand what's going on. And now his truck's missing. His trailer's missing. He's supposed to deliver this, and now he's like, what the, they had me out here, then they take my trailer, and I'm trying to get all he wants is his late slip and go hang out with his brother and drink some beer. You can tell that's all he wants to do. Drink some Iron City, or Rolling Rock, whatever they drink up there. All right, let's finish it up.
What happened on October 21st, was a series of unusual events that cannot be a coincidence. I know I saw ballots with return addresses filled out, thousands of them, thousands. Loaded onto my trailer in New York and headed for Pennsylvania. At first, I didn't think it was a big deal. In fact, I thought it was really awesome. I really did. I was like, sweet, I'm doing something for the presidential race. You know, this is cool. But as things became weirder, I got to thinking and wondered why I was driving complete ballots from New York to Pennsylvania. I didn't know why, so I decided to speak up. And that's what I'm doing today. Thank you.
Completed ballots from New York to Pennsylvania. Does that seem odd? I mean, that would be breaking news across the, if that was filled out for Donald Trump, if those ballots were filled out for Donald Trump, you know, it would have been the biggest news ever. We've caught election fraud. Did y'all just make that? That's beautiful. Oh, you found the same guy? Yeah, right. Slaps roof of Gaylord. You can fit a lot of stolen ballots in this, baby. Let's go. Steal an election, Beavis. I mean, that's literally what happened. They literally just inserted fake ballots into the system. And because computers are counting these things, the computer doesn't know. We don't know what's going on. Oh, you found the actual picture of the Gaylord box. That's what you were saying. Yeah. Gaylord's going to be word of the day. I thought it was going to be Mexico, but it's definitely Gaylord at this point. Going back, here's the point. Here's the point. This is why I'm going to go into this weird 4chan stuff and weird posts. We can't believe anything we're being told at this point, but from any side. They're all obfuscating something. It's probably eating kids. It's probably trafficking babies. I mean, it's horrible stuff. That's why we're not seeing the light of day on it. And it all had to happen. And it's all part of COVID as well. They had to steal the election so they could try to institute COVID lockdowns, which they'd kind of been disrupted by that point. So nobody was going backward to it. But they're like, oh, we could still inject these people. But this is from Mr. Pool QQ. So this is a Q thing. So yeah. So apparently there's a countdown. So I'm just gonna let you know. On February 19th, a document appeared in the DOJ's Epstein Library portal. By midnight, it was gone, but we have it. So it's EPS 2026-219-sealed. The document contained 43 names that were redacted in the original January 31st release. These are not the 318 public names. These are the names Bonnie said were withheld for law enforcement sensitive purposes. The ones under federal investigation. Someone at the DOJ uploaded the unredacted version by mistake. 4 hours later, deleted scrub like it never existed. But the screenshots spread to 14 Telegram channels before takedown. So that, but you gotta love things like Telegram. We can't publish all 43, not yet. Why not? What are we doing? If it's so if it's so dire and you're just an anonymous Q guy, why can't you just publish it and just, you let it go? It's like lighting a firework. You light the fuse and you let it go and you see what happens. Usually you get fireworks. So this is what was visible before deletion. 3 sitting U.S. senators, 1 active Supreme Court justice, 2 former CIA directors, 1 current NATO official, 4 Fortune 500 CEOs, 2 in tech, 1 in pharma, 1 in defense, the head of a major children's charity, and a royal family member not named Andrew. The rest were financiers, ambassadors, and 2 names connected to the Vatican. Why they panicked? Maxwell's lawyers filed their emergency motion the next day, 90,000 pages. She wants them blocked. Now you know why. 318 names were the ones they could show you. 43 were the ones that would end governments. Prince Andrew was arrested the same day this file leaked. Coincidence? The Sultan of DP World, that's an interesting name, resigned the same day. Coincidence? Goldman Sachs top lawyer resigned the same week. Coincidences? There are no coincidences. The clock is ticking. The DOJ has 60 days from the passage of the Epstein Act to release all remaining documents. Day 52, 8 days left. Maxwell's fighting the deep's greatest scrambling. Senators are lawyering up, but Trump signed the law. Bondi is enforcing it, and the clock doesn't stop. In 8 days, the 43 names will go public. They deleted the file. They can't delete the truth. So this went out yesterday at 5 a.m., February 22nd. I take all Q posts with a grain of salt. Because it's always, oh, this is going to happen. 8 days left, TikTok. And, you know, how many times have we seen representatives get up there and talk about, oh, we've seen the names. We've seen these unredacted names. It'll shock you to the core. Well, then release it. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the war with Iran to kick off before you do that? Is that what you're waiting for? But we can't trust where we're getting news. Wait, is that me? No, that's not me in that picture. I wear glasses. But this is where we're at. No one trusts anything. And so, you know, the anonymous Q guy has just as much credence as the teleprompter reading puppet on mainstream media. Because we're not getting the truth. And I think, you know, we just want the truth. We just want what's really going on. And I'm wondering if I should pivot over to Iran. We got time. We'll get to that. Let's get to more pedophiles. This is clip 29. A D.C. Democrat running for Congress charged with distributing child pornography. Now, it says Angel Rios shared a video of a man sexually assaulting his son over social media. So maybe it's the man sexually assaulting his son. Because I'm looking at this, I'm like, well, they say his name's Angel Rios. Is this a guy or a girl? It looks like a girl. Harvard University, of course. So let's go to the report. These are gross people.
D.C. man running as a candidate, according to federal election forms, to replace Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton, has been arrested.
Now, I-Team investigator Scott Taylor is joining us now live with the details here. Scott, what type of charges are we talking about?
Well, Angel Anthony Rios has been indicted on a charge of distributing child porn. He was arraigned in U.S. District Court this morning. His name is listed with the Federal Election Commission as running for the office. This is really an unusual story. His social media posts say he's a candidate for another office, D.C.'s shadow representative's office. Now, court documents show someone tipped off D.C. police over claims they were sent videos of child porn.
Does anyone find it odd that we have a position in office called the shadow representative? Does that sound weird? I'd never heard of this shadow representative, but here's this person passing around child pornography, apparently, and they're running for an office called shadow representative. And it's like, man, you know, that's what we have here in D.C. We have shadow representatives. Like, I don't know where we're at anymore. Timelines must have shifted somewhere, and we're still stuck. You know, those of us who were born in the 70s are still going, wait a minute, none of this is right. Shadow congressperson. Okay, here it is. The posts of shadow United States Senator and shadow United States Representative are held by elected or appointed government officials from the subnational politics of the United States. They lack they don't get a congressional vote, so they just kind of sit around. I'm sure we have to pay these people. sit around and do nothing. That sounds like a great job, huh? I've won the office of do nothing, but I get paid. All right, let's finish the report.
Child porn through an ex account belonging to Rios. That ex account has been removed. In the court's criminal complaint, a copy of Angel Rios's LinkedIn page is shown and his picture. An undercover agent took over from there and continued the conversation that ended up in the arrest of Rios, and he's been locked up since January. Now, today I was in court. Rios was arraigned and entered a not guilty plea. He'll be back in court next month. We have reached out to the D.C. Election Board. His attorney had no comment, and we just checked, and his name is not officially on the D.C. Board of Elections list for either office.
So what the hell is going on? D.C. Now he's just D.C. man. Claims he's running for federal office. Arrested for distributing child porn. And you look at this, I guess it's a guy, kind of looks like a girl to me, you know, got the headband on the hair, wearing a jacket that looks kind of feminine in his bio picture. But it's a dude, that's what they say. I mean, who knows anything anymore? We can't just have yes or no. Everything's got to be some nuanced version of maybe. All right, now we're going to go to Alaska, where we have the chief of staff of a state senator arrested for child trafficking. This is clip 28. Clip 28.
As we come on the air at 4, shock in the Capitol hallways after the FBI says that a Mat-Su state senator's chief of staff was arrested on federal child sex trafficking charges that happened in Juneau today. That's where our political reporter, Will Courtney, joins us live as he continues to gather reaction from inside the Capitol building.
Yeah, Rebecca, I think shock about sums up what the reaction we're hearing in the Capitol today is. That's after we learn that Sutton Senator George Rauscher's chief of staff, Craig Scott Valdez, was arrested on 4 different federal charges, including child sex trafficking charges. Court documents are describing an Anchorage incident in October where the FBI says Valdez used Snapchat to lure a juvenile to his Anchorage home to celebrate his birthday. The documents go on to say the minor sibling alerted their mother, who used a family tracking app to locate the juvenile, heard the minor trying to leave, entered Valdez's home, and struck him to get the minor out. Now, when police arrived, the FBI says Valdez had fled. Senate Minority Leader Mike Cronk confirmed to me today that Valdez has been fired, calling the news shocking. The FBI says at least 11 other juveniles may have also been targeted by Valdez across Alaska. The 3 other charges in this case include production of child pornography, coercion and enticement of minors, and receipt of child pornography. You'll have to forgive me if I'm being a little bit quiet. Right behind me is the Senate Resources Committee, which Rauscher is a part of. However, he was not here today. They actually don't have quorum to conduct business. Rauscher being a part of that reason, they don't have quorum. We did also just get a reaction from the Alaska Republican Party as well, calling these charges horrifying, and that now Valdez does not have any affiliation with the Young Anchorage Republican Party. Now, we are learning more, and on our website right now, we have an expanded coverage.
You know, and you shouldn't be surprised when you hear Republicans involved in this either, because if you look at the Franklin cover-up, that's all what it was during the 80s, was all Republicans trafficking young minors around the country. So this guy's probably part of a network. I'm more interested to see how did he flee? Did he flee on foot? Cause that guy didn't look like he's getting very far in the frozen tundra of Alaska. And it's still winter up there. But you know, he was in the Young Republicans Club. So that's probably where he was looking for young boys, or girls, whatever. It looked like he was into boys. And then you've got, he's part of the State Resources Commission. Yeah, there they are. Look at that. 2 fine, upstanding individuals. Disgusting, disgusting fat bodies. But, you know, I think in his mind, he's like, listen, trafficking young people, that's a state resource, you know? So that's probably, he probably thought he was in the right committee. He's like, we got these kids, you know, they're human resources. So we will take them and I'll groom them to be, you know, sex objects for these politicians, these creepy politicians. I mean, it's beyond disgusting. It keeps getting more and more disgusting. But what do you have? You got people speaking out. Let's see. Oh, let's just go to the guy bullhorning Epstein as we go to break. This is clip 31. You got people pissed off about this, and so they're just going nuts. They're like, anybody who will listen, we're going to talk about Epstein and pedophilia. And you know, we kind of need this until we get closure. So this is clip 31.
We can go down a fucking list. Jay-Z's a rapper. So fuck what? My dining mom on the Epstein list. That's right. It's the reason why he's in power. Jessica Tisch. Her cousin is on the Epstein list. It's the reason why she's in power. It's the reason why they're running this fucking city. They got millions. Their families got millions and millions of dollars. And they out here playing. They playing with us. They make their kids run our cities. They out here playing with us. My Donnie's a spoiled little bitch. My Donnie's a spoiled little bitch. Ain't never struggled in his life. But he tried to get out here and act like he is.
You know, you need like a thousand of those people walking around the city right now with bullhorns. You can just keep him up on screen as he's going. You can have a little bit underneath me. You know, we saw the guy in the airport who was screaming at people a couple weeks ago. Pissed off that nothing's happening. And what's happening? But what is happening here? What's happening? Pedo tolerance level is being hit. People are sick and tired of it, and the more people are talking about it, the more people are getting pissed. And when we come back, I've got a guest. She's been a guest on the show. I Am the Storm. She's confronting her community board of supervisors over in California. And then I've got this interview with a guy named John DeMartini, who was working with Oprah on this film that came out about 20 years ago called The Secret. It was how you can manifest your destiny and all that stuff. And he basically says, you know, children are asking for it if they want to be raped, and murdering children is not a bad idea. This is like a professional individual saying this in an interview. And he just says it on camera like it's no big deal. There's two classes of people. There's the predator class and then everybody else. So when we get back, we'll play those. We'll try to get through those in the first 5 minutes. And then I'll open up the phone lines and we'll take your calls. Don't be depressed though. Be informed and use that information to guide yourself.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, you know, same Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
start your day talking about potbelly pedophiles. And it doesn't end. You know, we played the video of the unnamed man walking through the street with a bullhorn, trying to wake people up. You know, these people are channeling Alex Jones. This is what Alex Jones was doing 20 years ago, going around with a bullhorn, waking people up. This is a, here's an interesting little cartoon. We got Pam Bondi and Cash Patel. I think there's a room here and says Epstein Files. And there's a normie going, yeah, you're going to get him. And then they walk out and they're glassy eyed. Like, there is no client list. He killed himself. And there's a glow coming out of the room. And the guy's going, what the F is in there? And will we ever get the real truth about it? Because we keep finding all this other stuff. Let's go to this clip. This is I Am the Storm confronting. Well, see, this is what happens when we don't see action from our elected officials on any of this stuff. Just, hey, we're going to check our area, make sure we're clean. We're going to do an investigation into this and we're going to be transparent about it. No, you get nothing from, you know, county people who are, you know, what's going on in your county? I'm sure there's stuff going on here in Travis County and Hayes County. I'm sure there's all kind of stuff going on around here, but here she is confronting, and she's done this many times because she seems to know the names, the first names of the people she's confronting. And, you know, this is kind of where people are. This is kind of where I'm at. If you're not actively speaking out against this and talking and looking at things, oh, then you're condoning it as far as I'm concerned. Clip 33.
I am wondering if you are all pedophiles. Because you don't seem to care that children are being sexually abused. So the only thing I could ascertain is that you guys probably enjoy child porn. I don't know, right? You're not looking. I mean, if somebody claimed that I was, I would say, I absolutely am not. I wouldn't let it stand as fact, but you guys love to let it stand as fact that that's what's going on because you're not willing to stop it. So, I mean, if you're willing to perpetuate it, what else could you be? You're going to shake your head, then do something about it. No, Monica, you're not a pedophile. Then why aren't you doing anything about the child abuse that's happening in the county? Because you don't care. If you cared, you would want to stop it. If you cared if it happened to your child, you'd want to stop it. If you cared if it happened to you, you'd want to stop it. Jim, what if it happens to your grandchild? What if? Would it matter then? Probably, right? So horrible to think about. Right.
Next speaker, please.
And these public comments are interesting because people get up and say the darndest things and the community people don't say, no, listen, we're not into that. No. It's just next speaker, please. We're allowing you rabble to come up and shout things at us. We don't really care what you have to say. In Austin, they would do this. Somebody would come, like Owen Schroyer would get up and start talking and they would literally get up and go into the next room. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. So at least these people were listening. I guess you could say that. All right, we come back. I'm going to play this clip that kind of shocked me. This Dr. John DeMartini, who happens to be in the Epstein files too. I know, I'll read the email coming up after the break. He says, you know, children who are raped and murdered, they've asked for it. It's not a bad thing. I mean, you're going to be shocked when you... There's no nuance there. He says exactly what's on his mind, and that's how these people think of us. Big club, you ain't in. We'll be right back. You're watching The American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down.
So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to The American Journal. We are into the second hour. I'm going to go to this video of Dr. John DeMartini. And when I saw this ex post, and I'm like, this can't be real. He can't really say this. And it's worse than what these people are saying. This is Speak with Didi and on X, and she says, the interviewer says, children who have been raped attracted it to their lives. They brought it in. They manifested it. This is one of the guys who helped Oprah write The Secret. You guys might not remember that. It came out in the early 2000s. You could get it on Netflix when they were still delivering DVDs, The Secret. And then ends by saying there's upsides to murder of children. All right. And he's in the Epstein files, and we'll get to all that in 1 second. But I do want to tell you the reason we're here, the reason we're still here. I reminisced about them trying to destroy us last hour. The people who seem to be for this, they seem to be okay with child sex predators. Is when people support us at thealexjonesstore.com. And right now, $10 off every single order. Boom. Free $10 every order. No minimum to spend. So you can go in there and buy the cheapest thing in there if you want to get $10. But that's not what you're doing it for. It's almost like, though, if you're a VIP member. Because if you're a VIP member, it's $30 a month to be a VIP member. And then you get $10. You get $40 in credit every month to spend in the store. So that's like a free $10 there. So you can join the VIP for $20 and get $40 in credit. And then use that in the store to get some of the amazing supplements like methylene blue. Then we have the liquid tincture, and we also have the pills. I'm still on my experiment, though. I haven't had methylene blue since not this past Friday, but the Friday before that. So it's been over a week. And I was doing a pill every other day. The capsule, I guess it's not a pill, it's a capsule. Let's be accurate, Rob. We don't want to give out fake news. Yeah, they're capsules. It's got powder inside of it. And I'm waiting to see when I wake up in the morning, and have brain fog, because that's where I had it the most. That's where it would happen the most. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd just be like, and it wasn't from drinking or anything. It wasn't from anything like that. It was just, my brain took a little bit of time to jumpstart. And now every time I wake up in the morning, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And if I don't pick up my phone, I'll get my ass out of bed. But that's the key. You got to keep your phone out of reach. I try to charge it to where I have to get up and take two or three steps out. Because once I'm up, I'm like, all right, let's start moving. Let's start getting ready. And I'm sure we all deal with that. Those little crack devices. But Alex Jones store.com, $10 off with every order. Hats, t-shirts, sweatshirts, the supplements, the knives. What else do we have in there? We probably have stickers. Anything you want. Well, the hydration. I forgot about the optimal human hydration. Yeah, those come in the little packets. I haven't looked at the insert on that. See if you can find that to see if, I wonder if it has magnesium in it. Because I used to take, a long time ago, we did this stuff with Youngevity, and they had a product called Pollen Burst. And I would go skiing, and the next day my legs would be so sore, but I would take a packet of that, and immediately the soreness would go away. Like within 10 minutes, the soreness would go away. And I don't know if that has, I think it was the magnesium that was in there that took the soreness away. But these, I got to look at these real hydration packets because I'm out of the other ones that I used to have from many years ago. And, you know, when I go on my next trip, I don't like sore legs in the morning. Not very good, but let's go to this clip now. I've teased it enough. This person, I don't know how the interviewer didn't like reach across the table and smack him from hearing this, but this is Dr. John Martini, a human behavior specialist at the DeMartini Institute in Houston, Texas. This guy lives in Texas. Texans are allowing this. I think when you make statements like that, you should be escorted out of the state. Go to New Mexico with that garbage. Here he is.
Everybody who's been raped attracted it into their life.
Anytime you're addicted
to the... No, answer this question. Everybody who's been raped attracted that rape into their life.
Every 1,300 cases of pedophilia...
And the children attracted the pedophile.
You really want to go there? Let's go. All these things that we label good and bad have been labeled good or bad depending on who you're taking sides with.
I have a really hard time with this. If I went home today and somebody was assaulting my wife, I would forcibly stop it.
Probably.
Probably, 100% certainly. I wouldn't say, maybe this is his belief and this is my belief.
You're going to react in that setting exactly proportioned to your morality at the time. If you see what he's doing as evil, you're going to do what you can to stop him.
But it is evil.
In your perception, it will be.
It's not okay to beat a child to a pulp. It's not okay to sexually assault a child. There is something actually fundamental inside of us that is on a driving force towards life, love, freedom, the experience to live this beautiful world. And if somebody is intentionally interfering with that, we have an obligation to try and prevent or stop it. You can override your impulses. I've wanted to hit somebody and not done it.
You've repressed it inside yourself and then attacked your customers right here in front of me.
I'm attacking you?
Well, you're basically taking information that goes against what you say, and you're saying, I'm just going to refuse to put it on my show because of it. It's like a fight to you. It doesn't match your belief system, so you're ready to fight and attack.
Your hands are shaking.
When you say that you're going to not go any further on a podcast because of what I'm saying,
because
that
fundamentally
means it challenges you, and you're wanting to avoid it.
No, because it's putting out information that I think is detrimental to the world.
I'm not going to pacify my research. For any human being on this planet, nobody. The reality is that there's upsides to that event.
There's upsides to the murder of children?
Yes, there's upsides to it.
I think we're going to have to stop here, John.
Upsides to the murder of children. And here he is in the Epstein files. We don't know exactly what he's saying, but it looks like he's forwarding a message to a Francis Jardine Deuce. And they're talking basically about, an unsettlement that's going on. I've been drinking water, eating fruit and nuts. Thank you for your effort and consideration of what has been contributing to me being unsettled. I think your suggestion is helpful to me. I don't even know who talks like this. I will talk with the contractors to see if we can get an agreement in place with regards to how to finish up the renovation project. And they're talking about putting a fireplace in. And if some people have been looking at the photos and they're like, you know, the Epstein Island and all these other places where everything was always being renovated and there are these cleaning schedules, you know, and that he was probably running a high-end brothel, which I'm sure was part of the way you get people's money, you know, high-end guys to get their money. You open these things up. You attract lots of money and you're like, hey, you like having girls in? You're kind of ugly. You know, you look at most of these guys that are involved with this. Not good looking guys, not family guys. They're just kind of, you know, these roaming bachelors. So, but here we have Dr. John DeMartini, you know, saying children bring murder upon themselves. I mean, really, you know, you get mad at your kids when they don't do the dishes. They're not asking to be murdered, right? No, they're just not doing what they're supposed to do. And it's our job to teach these kids on what to do. So there's that. Let's see. I've got three more Epstein clips. I might as well get through all these. This one is clip 32. It has to do with the search term called the girl. So there was a search term people were using called the girl. And we all know what that is. And here's this clip from a TikToker who did some research. Here it is.
So a few days ago, I made this video. Why are you guys not talking about the apartment complex? They wanted me to explain what I was talking about with the apartments and what you find with the search term, the girl, in the file. So here we go. Now, first up was the term girl. This is the term that I told you to search. And here's why. Because when you search that term, you get some really interesting emails between Jeffrey and other men and women, in which it is very clear that these people are procuring young girls for Epstein from all over the world, everywhere, like Brazil and Hungary and Kazakhstan. And it's literally all over the world. It's lots of things like this from Mortimer Zuckerman. That's like, how is the girl hunting? Or you would be so proud. The only place open here tonight was a church. The girl was cold. Oops. Or Epstein talking about one of the girls needing immediate care for something that had gone on with her teeth. But the real reason that I wanted you to search through that term, the girl, and what I talk about most importantly in this video is the apartment. There were a lot of apartments, and there are a lot of messages between Leslie Groff, who was Epstein's assistant, to the people who are managing those apartments, saying things like, you need to clean 8B, you need to clean 8A, there's a new girl coming today, staying through so-and-so and so-and-so. Here's another one. Hey, 10B is available for cleaning now. The girl who was staying there has departed a day early. We have a guest coming to stay in apartment 10B this Saturday. Let me know when you can clean 10B, please. And what I think is really telling is Leslie gets really snarky with whoever is managing these apartments in New York, because she says more than once, this is just one of them, when she says, we can't screw up these cleaning schedules. In another one of these emails, she says, we cannot have someone walking into one of these apartments and seeing our guests accidentally, because they're running brothels. And it's just tons of these girls coming in and out of these apartments. And when you go and watch the videos, there are so many videos of apartments being renovated, of Epstein walking around apartments, of women walking around apartments that are being renovated. And in some of the really horrific videos, you can tell it's the same apartment appearing in the background over and over and over. And they even say, like, don't cook for the girl in the apartment. This is Epstein telling Ghislaine Maxwell that one of the girls in one of the apartment is not to have the cook that's there cook for her. A brothel. And on top of these emails, there are cleaning schedules and an unimaginable list of properties that were owned by Epstein. Not mansions, not islands. Weird, middle class, lower class properties all over the country, all over the world that you would not expect to be owned by him. It's way worse than you guys are making it out to be.
Most of us are fine, upstanding citizens, and we don't visit brothels. I've never visited a brothel, but I've talked to people who worked in brothels, and I've edited a video of people talking about working in brothels. That's my disclosure on that. And, you know, these incursions take maybe an hour, 2 hours at the most. And then you got to have somebody come in and clean it, which is why they're always having these cleaning issues. Maybe you're spending the night with somebody if they're paying more money. But you got to, the key is turning the room over so you can get another person in the room. And you can't get a new person in the room until the old room's clean, which is why they're talking about all these cleaning schedules. So, you know, Epstein running a high-end brothel in addition to all the other stuff he was doing. That makes sense for part of what's going on, part of these emails. But then you look at the beef jerky, and I got in an argument with a guy on X, and he's like, elites love having jerky. They love their high-end jerky. I'd never heard of this. And he sent me a picture, and I'm not going to give the guy's name. Cause it's not that who he is. He was an InfoWars guy, and you know, we didn't go far enough in whatever he thought. So who cares? But, you know, he said to me, look, the guy at the cannibal restaurant, he makes jerky. Okay. So he's coming over to make jerky at the house? No, jerky takes a long time to make. You don't just go, oh, here's your jerky. It's not just like a TikTok video where you slap it down and there's jerky. No, you have to dehydrate this stuff. You have to season it. Maybe there's some sauce. Maybe it's just a dipping sauce he's making for the jerky. I don't know. Seems a little weird. Trump's actually live right now talking. No, he's not. He's about to go live. He's going to honor Lakin Riley and other crime victims in the Angel Family Day signing. But this is what I think is interesting. So Trump signed the Lincoln Riley Act into law in January 2025 as his first bill of his second term. The act requires the federal detention of illegal immigrants arrested for things like burglary or theft. The act requires federal detention. Okay? So what did you see going on in Minnesota? Well, the reason they were having all these protests is because they're releasing criminals and the ICE agents had to go find them in society. They weren't just like rolling up to the prison, picking up the guy who's already in chains and then escorting him to a van where then he gets brought to an airport and he's flown away. No. So literally the people, like the mayor Jacob Fry and the governor, Tim Walz, are literally breaking federal law, and the attorney general are breaking federal law by allowing these guys to be released because the act requires federal detention of illegal immigrants arrested for things like burglary or theft. They're going around catching pedophiles. They're catching guys who were sexually assaulting minors in Minnesota. So all the people that are protesting this and getting involved with it, you're literally protesting rapists and murderers who are being let free. I mean, I don't understand how you can do that in a society. And I keep saying that. Like, we are in bizarro world. It's literally gotten nuts. And these guys are still walking around. They supposedly been subpoenaed, but we haven't seen them answer questions. Tim Walz, Jacob Fry, these guys aren't answering questions. They're just going about their business. All right, let's get even more into the weeds. This is anonymous, so we don't know if this is true or not. This is clip 26. Anonymous officer from Nigeria claims Jay-Z and Beyonce participated with Epstein in the hunting of innocent children. Now, on the scale of did this really happen, it's probably more that it didn't happen than it did happen because it's just one guy talking about it. But you never know. You never know. But these things, you know, somebody leaks something and then they come out of the woodwork. You know, there's people saying that were calling the FBI tip line saying, you know, Trump was slitting kids' throats. And they were participating in orgies and all this stuff. And this is all stuff that happened during Biden's presidency when they set up the tip line to get all these anonymous tips. But here's the Nigerian officer. And he's got a very heavy accent. So I do believe he's from Nigeria, but I don't know if what he's saying is true or not. But it could be. Go ahead. Here's the clip.
With the Lagos State Police Command, 15 years on the force. I can't give you my name because I'm not authorized to speak with the press, but I'm speaking out because somebody asked to. I've seen corruption, I've seen crime, but nothing like this. When the survivor statements came in last year, detailing Jeffrey Epstein's operations here in Nigeria, the human ants in the northern bush and southern forests, I was assigned to the initial inquiry team. We interviewed witnesses, collected evidence from remote villages, missing children reports dating back to 2002, strange aircraft sightings, locals paid off or threatened to stay quiet. The allegations are clear and horrifying. Epstein turned parts of our country into a playground for the super rich. Children, vulnerable kids from poor communities, were taken, stripped, released into isolated terrain and hunted like animals. Guns, dogs, helicopters. For sport, survivors describe Jay-Z and Beyonce being there on at least three occasions, laughing, directing, even killing when the moment felt right. Multiple witnesses describe Beyonce stepping in for the final act on cornered victims, cold and deliberate. Another talked about skin taken afterward, human skin turned into leather for her tour outfits. We have names, dates, locations, credible enough to open a formal case. My team wanted to move fast, issue international arrest warrants, request Interpol red notices, question Jay-Z and Beyonce through diplomatic channels. We had enough to bring them in for questioning, to seek real justice for the victims and their families who still wait for answers. But then the calls started, not from Abuja, from Aya. Very high. U.S. embassy contacts, people with direct lines to Washington. The message was the same every time. Drop it. Shut the file. No further action. They didn't threaten violence outright. They didn't need to. They said if we pursue this, if we name the celebrities or push for extradition, billions in development funds, health programs, security assistance would be gone overnight. Sanctions on senior officials in our government, frozen assets, travel bans, diplomatic isolation that would hurt ordinary Nigerian more than anyone. Think about your country, they said. Think about the economy. This is bigger than one case. We were told to classify it as unsubstantiated rumor. Archive the files, warn witnesses to stay silent. Some colleagues already transferred out or retired early. I'm still here, but I know my time is short. This isn't justice. This is protection. The powerful shield their own while our children disappear. The media does not report the truth. I'm speaking now because someone has to. The victims deserve truth. Their families deserve answers. If it costs me my badge or worse, I won't stay silent anymore. The world needs to know the hunts happened. The names are real and the cover-up is active right now from the top.
So, you know, you hear something like this and you're like, wow, that's pretty crazy. He's talking about stuff that happened in 2002 in Africa. Do we have any corroboration in the Epstein files? I know around 9/11, there's not much. Those just seem to be the files that are missing around 9/11, that's interesting in itself. But do we have anything about Jeffrey Epstein in Africa in 2002? Well, here we got from Ghana Business News. Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell came to Ghana with Bill Clinton in 2002. Where's Ghana? Well, it's just two small countries over from Nigeria. You know, Africa's a big country. It's got that big kind of, I don't know, badonkadonk right there. And Ghana's here, and then a couple countries over is Nigeria. So pretty close to each other. Could he have taken a helicopter over to Nigeria and done some of these things? Possibly. Yeah, there's Ghana, there's Nigeria. Very close to each other. So we've got maybe, you know, he uses the cover of taking Clinton to Africa. You know, what are they doing? Probably spreading vaccines to the good people there in Ghana. That's what we always, seems to always, that's our little testing ground. That's where they test vaccines on the young children of Ghana. Or of Africa, really, of all of Africa. That's where, you know, Bill Gates is always talking about how he's going to help out the young children in Africa. And I've actually got some Bill Gates news, which we'll cover on the other side of this break. Although I might get into Iran. There's some interesting Iran stuff with the Huckabee interview with and some fallout from that with Tucker Carlson. But apparently Bill Gates and Albert Bourla have been ordered to testify in a Dutch COVID vaccine injury lawsuit. We'll see if that actually happens. Will these guys, are these guys above the law? We're going to find out. Are they above international law? We're going to find out very soon. You're watching The American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. You can follow me on X at Dews News, DewsNewz. And there's Bill Gates helping the kids.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts that have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. That's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexshowstore.com today and one click become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything gets a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum. That's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones backup network and the site. There's all sorts of behind the scenes attacking them. They're big boys too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But, I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right-hand corner, VIP Club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR and PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country. $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at theolivestonestore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you spend X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexshowstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP, VIP, VIP. And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. And it's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the info war. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexshowstore.com.
With your host, Rob Due. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I guess since I've teased Bill Gates, we should go into Bill Gates and we'll cover Iran. Because the attacks didn't happen today, but basically we have half of our Air Force, our air power capabilities in that area right now, and more planes are coming. So it's a matter of time. They're just getting resources ready. And we're going to talk about why we're doing that. And you know what? Let's, in the third hour, we'll open up and take maybe five calls, six calls. We'll see. But, let's put the number up. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. And, we'll see. You know, what you guys have to say about anything that I've talked about. We'll get into it. Don't forget $10 off every single order at thealexjonesstore.com. Let's get into Bill Gates. RFK Jr. was giving a speech at the at a Turning Point thing. And see, this is a lawsuit that was filed in 2023. And one of the victims has since died. And the lawsuit centers around questioning whether the COVID-19 injections are a bioweapon. So here's RFK Jr. talking about it. And we'll see if anything's going to happen to old Uncle Bill and Albert Bourla. Will anything happen to these guys? A short clip. Here it is. This is RFK Jr.
Well, there was something else, another article about Bill Gates.
Yeah.
It came out today that said he's just been indicted. He's been indicted in the Netherlands for lying to the public about the COVID vaccine. And he's going to have to go to trial.
Yeah.
You think that he wants to go to trial here in the United States of America?
You think anybody's going to put him on trial in the United States of America? Hasn't happened yet. I have another RFK clip that's interesting, but I think these two clips might be more interesting. And it sort of, you know, after seeing this, I think you have to add on the suspects list, you know, they say, oh, it was this trans kid shot Charlie Kirk and no one else was involved, even though people knew about it, but nobody else was involved. We're only looking at one guy, even though there's a guy on the ground saying he shot him and gets arrested and he was paid to do that. And then they filed child porn on his phone. So he gets locked away. So he can't talk anymore. Starts making you think. Well, this is Brett Weinstein. What clip is this? Oh, yeah, 23, clip 23. Talking with Joe Rogan. And Brett and Charlie were working to get the COVID vaccines pulled. And he was saying he had President Trump's ear. This is very interesting. And it adds to the list of suspects. So here's that clip.
Charlie Kirk and I were working together trying to get the shots pulled. He had the president's ear. I was helping to inform him about what's really going on with the mRNA platform. And anyway, we were making great progress. He sent me a text at one point. I had congratulated him on, I think, the shots having been pulled for no longer being recommended for kids and pregnant women. And he said something, I think it was, we're doing holy work together. And it meant a lot. I'm obviously not a religious person, but it meant a lot for me to hear that from him. And I do think among the many tragedies that are the result of his terrible death is the fact that it slowed progress on getting these shots removed from the market.
So that to me says, well, do we look at Big Pharma being involved in this at all? Because we see, you know, Albert Bourla in the White House, we see Bill Gates being invited to lunches, and maybe, you know, Trump's talking to him, you know, we've got this guy, Charlie Kirk and Brett Weinstein, they're trying to get these pulled off the market. Oh, and they're like, oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Huh. We'll see what we can do about that. You know, if we're gonna talk about Fort Huachuca, I think we should definitely add Big Pharma into this list of suspects. I noticed no Fort Huachuca jumpsuit today. You're not jogging? Nah. It's a little cold this morning. Still getting rid of the remnants of global warming. It was a weird winter though. Got warm, cold, warm, cold. Now the Northeast is getting pounded again with more snow. I think they're getting 2 feet of snow in New Jersey. The West finally got some snow. There was an avalanche that killed some people who were backcountry skiing. And that's what happens when there's no snow and then there's a bunch of snow real quickly. It's all unsettled. It's got to settle down and stuff starts to settle down. It starts to flow. Here's a clip that was posted by at Infowars_TV, Infowars fan. He's digging out great clips. And this one, it's Alex Jones from 2/21/20, where he's talking, and this is already after he'd interviewed Francis Boyle a couple times. I think we interviewed Boyle starting in the end of January. And then I'm going to go to Tim in Seattle, who wants to talk about the saga of Bill Gates and Francis Boyle. Because Francis Boyle was literally the guy who said, this is a bioweapon, 100%. It's got gain of function. It's got all these, it's a chimera. He was the first person that I heard say it was a chimera. And we got him on right after they posted, it was some scientists from India who had analyzed the virus. And they're like, this thing's got HIV in it. It's got a bunch of weird stuff in it. And then that went away. They're like, oh no, this was a fake. This was fake. We can't have this. I'm sure the caste system went into effect. But here's Jones. Do you need that clip number? 22. Yep. That's the one. We're going to go to 22. And this is Alex Jones talking about basically everything that came to pass. This is like, you could, next to it, you could just start like dumping change into the Alex Jones was right jar, because everything he's putting out here all became true later. Here it is.
This is Dr. Francis Boyle, the author of the U.S. Biological Weapons Law and World Treaty, has been at the very tip of the spear. Again, you revise your assessments as you learn more. We've never revised that it was man-made. We've never revised that it was released. But we've looked at, was it Canada where they were working on a weaponized version of it? Was it stolen by this Chinese operative who now died mysteriously? Well, it turns out, hiding in plain view, and we had Dr. Boyle on about this yesterday, lab-made coronavirus triggers debate. This is The Scientist, major journal, November 2015, pointing out that a U.S. university produced the exact virus, a chimera, that we're now dealing with. And that's why other groups, Indian research facilities and others, universities will come out and said, this is edited. You can see where the gene editing happened. It's got the scars. It's got the points where it was put in. There's no debating. And so, it's here. And so you've had Senator Cotton saying, stop the cover up. You've got the White House saying they want to know if China's covering it up. It turns out in 2015, China bought this from a U.S. university. It's all right here. And we have reports of U.S. government put a stop to all funding. And you have watchdog groups in mainline news saying don't do this. So now, did the Chinese release it? Or, like mousepox, remember 20 years ago? Internationally, mousepox that will kill 98% of humans, the way it's engineered, if it gets out. Between 90% and 98%. The scientists ask, why is the code to this being given out on the internet? Because the globalists are hoping that it gets proliferated and a terrorist produces it, or they want plausible deniability. That's what's happened. What do you do when there's fingerprints on all this? Well, you hand it out.
It was created in a lab in Wuhan, China. Well, actually, if you look at The Scientist, it was created in North Carolina. Ralph Barrick was working on it with the Bat Lady, who then went to Wuhan, China, the Bat Lady. And then it was leaked out. Who knows when? Some people think it was 2019 at some army exercise that was going on. And people were getting sick in late 2019. They didn't know what it was.
Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
You are implying...
I never...
...that what did we did that. Was responsible for the deaths of individuals. I totally resent
and it could
that.
Have been.
And if anybody
and it could
is lying
been.
Here, Senator, it is you.
Yeah. All right, we can cut it there. We can cut it there. I love that. You know, are you implying I killed those people? Well, you know, one thing you did was tell people they had to use remdesivir, which had a 30% kill rate, and it didn't work. People knew that, Dr. Fauci. But, you know, that was InfoWars in 2021-20, early on the pandemic, before this 14 days to slow the spread. All right, Tim in Seattle, over there bullhorning the Gates Foundation day after day, just like our buddy in New York who's bullhorning. And we need more bullhorns. I don't think we have enough bullhorns yet. We need to get saturation with bullhorns all over the country. Go ahead, Tim. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic, and I am doing the day-after-day bullhorning. I will be there in about an hour and 15 minutes demanding resignations. But I wanted to talk about Francis Boyle. Apparently, that's like Bill Gates' indictment is kind of in the waters. We're not really certain if it's real or not. But 20 days after Francis Boyle was supposed to, he was tapped to testify against Bill Gates and Borla in the Netherlands. He was killed.
Yeah.
Died. Right.
He had some weird pneumonia. You know, he had the weaponized pneumonia.
Right. Now, like, they're going to do their best to try to quell it and kill everybody that can whistleblow. And those are the experts that we've been listening to. And it's up to us to take up, you know, pick up the reins and drive this chariot of truth all the way to the destination as far as we can. We have to do the heavy, hard lifting and expose these people. So the best way to do it is with bullhorns, y'all. Like, America is completely ruined at this point if we let these people get away with it. And I'll blame you. I'll blame everybody hearing my voice. You don't get up and animate yourself and start fighting for these children that are, I mean, we're talking industrial scale. These people will get away with it, and we deserve it.
Yeah. You know, what you're doing, Tim, is what everybody should be doing, and it should be normal, commonplace to see people walking around with bullhorns telling people what's going on and things they need to investigate. And we're going to hit the pedo tolerance level, and it'll end, but not until we hit that level, and I don't think we're quite there yet. You know, there's a lot of people awake, still a lot of people asleep, still a lot of people going about their business.
There is, and we're, you know, we'll just have to hold the place until they wake up. But again, if you are, if you're on the fence about this, if you're looking the other way, if you're looking to not talk about the things that are, you know, controversial and stuff, like, you're not helping the truth movement. You're not helping America. In fact, you're wasting our time. Get out of the way. Allow people to have this conversation and never let it, don't set it down. Don't get distracted. We need that pedo tolerance level to be at maximum. We deserve what we get, 1,000%.
You're right. You're right. If we stand by and let this happen, and things are changing. I think we're not hearing about a lot of these pedo arrests. They don't make the news like they should, because they want people demoralized. They want people to think that this can be talked about and going on with high-level officials, and they're going to cover it up. We're looking at the FBI. They're looking like they're just covering things up, moving along. But there's local enforcement happening. Local sheriffs are making busts. There's a lot of people that's been busted. I haven't seen the latest numbers, but I know it's in the thousands of children that have been rescued, maybe even the tens of thousands of children, and thousands of sexual assault purveyors, sex trafficking purveyors have been arrested. So we are making inroads, but we got to, you know, it's like you don't just sit back and go, all right, we got, you know, 1,000 arrests. No. There's probably a good 40 to 50,000 of these people that are really bad. And they need to be put away.
They do. I mean, so after sentencing, we can discuss, we can start doing the memes after sentencing, but I definitely think that we should be as serious as possible about this until it's actually solved. Or the circus will continue on forever. And, you know, that's what they've presented us. There's no other path to walk. You know, you can't just put your head down in the sand and hope that the pedophile vampires will just not see you, right? They see us all. They've normalized their ritual sacrifice into our culture. Like, you should take that personally. They've basically initiated us in this by mainstreaming it all, and you should take it so personally that you act against them. God bless everybody.
Thanks, Tim. And people can go put his X back up. It's at Tim Lastly. If you have anything you want him to bullhorn at the Gates Foundation, send him a post on X. Go to his X, and I think if you're on his account and then you go to a post, it'll send it right to him, and you can tell him what you want him to talk about. He'll bullhorn for you. He'll bullhorn in your name. And you know, we need more people doing this. In fact, the next guy doesn't use a bullhorn. He uses an entire apparatus that he brings out into the heart of darkness there in the French Quarter, which is a place of amazing history, but also some dark history. It's Badass Uncle Sam. How are you doing today, sir?
Hello there, Rob Dude. How are you?
You know, I keep reading this news. It makes me sick to my stomach. But, you know, we're going to keep reporting on it until it stops.
Yeah. Well, you had one of my favorite people on just now, Lady Liberty, Audra Morgan was the woman in the clip in front of the San Diego Council.
Mm-hmm.
I do a show with her on Thursdays.
Okay.
Yeah, from Central Time from 10 to noon. But her, also someone else might be familiar with, is Ricky DeSantis, who is a survivor of 9/11, and he's 24/7 talking, you know, exposing the truth of that. Then there's the gentleman, Darian, who's helping me to put my new rig together, my new website for my new rig that's going to have two, you know, huge screens out there blasting InfoWars to the streets of New Orleans. And so all three of these people that I'm closely associated with right now are working with families who are trying to get their children back from the biggest pedophile network of all time, our U.S. government.
Yeah. Yeah, through CPS, Child Protective Services?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All three of them we're not coordinated at all. It just happened. And I happen to know these people. They just happened. It shows you how huge this is. I just happen to know these people. They're working with me, and they just happen to be working with families that are trying to desperately.
Sure. Well, you know, Uncle Sam, we were interviewing Nancy Schaefer, a state senator from Georgia. And she was uncovering, this was like in 2012 we were having her on, talking about CPS is the biggest child trafficking organization in the country. And it's literally our federal government, you know, and it probably ties in with the yearbook picture people, that's how they find victims. I mean, you got to look at this network of people. But there's Nancy Schaefer, had her on. Oh, interestingly enough, her husband decides to shoot her and shoot himself in the head.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens when you investigate CPS. You go on murder suicide rampages, and nothing about their health, nothing that they were having problems. All of a sudden, boom, she's gone, and they're trying to just sweep it under the rug.
Oh, you ought to see what they've done to Audra. I mean, there's a 14-minute clip of her before the council that is epic. She actually turns a podium around and talks to the people in the council meeting there, the audience.
And you know what? That's what people should do. They should turn their back on these elected officials because they don't represent us anymore.
Yeah.
And you turn to the people who are there who really need the message, who really want the information, because the people behind you don't care. They could care less. They're there to either scam government money out of something. That's the only reason these people are in these positions, to figure out some scam where they can make money. They're not there to serve, because if they were there to serve, they would do it for free. They're not there to serve. They're there to take.
You got that right. I mean, it's perfect. Yeah, I'm always amazed. I look at them listening to the people speak. Anytime you go to a council meeting, they're playing on their iPhones. They're shuffling through papers. They don't pay attention to us. They don't give a fat crap about what, you know, we got to say. And it goes back to what Thomas Jefferson said, you know, you when the people are afraid of the government, you get tyranny. When the government's afraid of the people, you have freedom. Well, we got to make them afraid of us. That's why getting out and doing it. Now, it always takes a small group of dedicated people to do it. So that's what we need. But we need a few more, like a few more bullhorners, a few more people getting out there on the street. One thing I really do applaud the left for is that they are on the street. They'll get out there. Yes, yeah, some of them getting paid. A lot of them are just dumb minions, but they show up. They're out there. If you ever come to New Orleans, you go through the French Quarter, every third block, there's some NGO out there with a vest on.
Yeah.
Would you like to sign up to give money for the gay rights? Would you like to sign up for abortion?
Do you like dogs? Oh, you love. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I've been hit by those people. You walk in through the French Quarter, and they're there right on the periphery of Jackson Square trying to get people to sign up for their cause, which is basically just to put more money in so they can put more people on the streets to protest things.
And where are we? Why aren't we right next to them, countering everything they say?
Yeah.
They don't come around me anymore. They used to come around where I set up down there near the French Market, but they don't, because I'll grab my cameras, I'm in their face, and they're off.
Because you recognize what that is. That vest is a marker, and it says, I'm the enemy. I'm here to take money and influence and give it back to people who aren't really concerned. You know, and that's the thing. They disguise it. Oh, we're for the people. We're for the people. We're for the people. You're not for the people. You're for giant faceless NGOs and billionaires who want to control people and kill people. They think there's too many people on the earth. That's who, World Wildlife Fund. That it was made. It was started by a guy who wants to depopulate the world. Like, that's what these people want to do. They're not here for you. These people don't care about you. That's why they treat you like cattle.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to get Audra on. You can reach her Eye of the Storm on X.
Yep.
And boy, she is a powerhouse. I mean, that woman is strong.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if anybody would want to come on from California this early in the morning. Although I'm sure Matt Baker would. He was confronting a cannibalist museum, a cannibal museum dedicated to cannibalism, the museum in San Diego. And he's up there asking him, do you like eating babies? Do you like eating babies? It's just more work in that we need to go back to the streets. We were doing that for a long time. And I think that helped get Trump elected the first time. But we've kind of stopped since Jan 6. That kind of put a chilling effect on people going out in the street because they are, they don't want to get picked up by the FBI for exercising their First Amendment right.
Screw the FBI. I'm starting to get my rig together. It's been a struggle, man. It's like the demons don't want me to get it out there. But I've got the rig running. I'm ordering the screens. I'm putting it all together. I should be out on the street with it probably in 3 to 4 weeks. And when it comes out, brother, it's going to rock.
Hey,
it's going
to rock. We'll promote it. Let us know. We can, we'll put it in InfoWars. We'll get you on to get a live stream of it while you're out there live. I think we need more people like Badass Uncle Sam, who's been doing this for years. You've had your channel on, I don't even, it doesn't say when you started your channel, but it's been there. I mean, we started this in 2018. I think by 2020, we had you on there, 2021, but you were doing it before that. Like, you don't need to wait for permission to go out into the street. Just go out into the street. Learn from people like Uncle Sam. Learn from people like Matt Baker. Learn from people like Tim Lastly. Get up and do something. You got free time. You spend your free time on making this country a better place, a country that we all want to live in. All right, we'll be right back. I got some good news coming up next, actually. We'll do a segment of good news.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones. And they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is gonna look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles. Because you understand the broader course of history. How these things tend to operate. How assassinations tend to occur. How cover-ups tend to happen. How false flags occur. How staged events occur. How also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy. In order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
you guys some good news. Yesterday, the U.S. hockey team won the gold medal for the first time in hockey in the Winter Olympics for the first time in 40 years. So there's the goalie, and it was the goalie did a magnificent job. I think he stopped 41 of 42 shots. Here's one of his crucial saves here, and that's all instinct. That was instinct to go back and just slap his stick back there. I mean, in the nick of time, you could see it. Look at that. Just boom, he hits it. The stick is there. Literally like Trump turning his head before he got shot. I mean, at the same time. So that's amazing. Then, and it goes into overtime, and we had Hughes. I think his name's John Hughes. Is that right? He gets the game-winning goal. And right before this happened, he got hit in the face with a stick and didn't come out of the game. I mean, amazing. Right there in overtime, sudden death overtime is 1-1. We won 2-1. And it's literally, you know, the miracle on ice 40 years later. You can see, and you got this number 8 too, like Yeoman's job getting the assist. Boom. Boom. I mean, that's America right there pulling it out. And that's the new face of America right there is Mr. Hughes, bloodied, missing teeth, bloodied lip, bloody gums, scoring the game winning goal, using every bit of his power and his talent. And it's practice. It's all coming together. They say luck is the intersection of preparation and timing. He'd been preparing. He'd been working their butts off. And at that time that he needed that slap shot, it was there because he'd been practicing it. Maybe he took 10 extra slap shots one day, 20 extra slap shots, and that, boom, that turned it around. And they had a really nice moment where one of their players had gotten a car wreck, killed by a drunk driver, and they brought the guy's kids out for the photo, holding his jersey up. That was pretty, pretty epic when you think about all the bad stuff going on in the world. This is, you know, real competition. There was no allegations of cheating or anything. It's just two teams really fighting it out hard. And you got to give it up to the Canadians too. You know, hockey wasn't invented up in Canada and that's kind of their sport, but you know, we've got enough guys up north to learn how to skate at a young age. This is a sport you have to start early if you're going to get to this level. You don't just come out of college playing hockey and playing ice hockey. You know, you got to be working on this from a young age. I have a friend who his son was a goalie all through the years, and it takes years of practice. But here's the tweet that Trump put out afterward, and I think it was in response to a Trudeau tweet about how, well, you know, we'll never get defeated by you or whatever. And then there's the eagle with the Canadian goose. There's another picture of an eagle perched on top of a flag that was flying at half mast. I think somebody did that on AI, but that also kind of captured the, there's another one that didn't happen, but that's another good AI photo of, you know, the American spirit and never say die. You know, they were underdogs. They had been working their way up. And the women also, I think the women also got the gold, but they were sort of favorites. They were kicking butts the whole time. Did they get the gold? Yeah, they did too. So, and then here's another thing. It hasn't happened yet, but here's Tim Lastly, doing a citizen's arrest on Bill Gates, and Wars of the Info sent that to me, who does a lot of our AI stuff. So here's some more AI stuff. So AI can be used for some good things. I'm going to play a clip from Eric Weinstein when we get back, talking about what he sees happening with AI. Because, you know, we had some good news. Now I'm going to get back. We're going to go back into the weeds again. And we're going to get into Iran. I'm going to take your calls. You can take our country, but you can't take our game. You can't take anything. But, yeah, we did. We took it. Sorry, bro. Gold to the Americans. Miracle on Ice.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, I talked about this clip last segment. This is Eric Weinstein talking about what's going to happen with this AI future. This is what he sees. Now, well, I'll tell you my reaction to listening to this, because I listened to it last night, and I'm like, I need to play this for the people, you know, because it is sort of a dose of reality. It is sort of a wake-up call and sort of a, you know, a guy shouting, you know, fire when the theater's on fire. But he's also, well, I'll get to what I think when we come back from this. This is clip four.
To the average person, I would say get your board in the water and prepare to paddle like all get out. The tsunami of a lifetime is coming, and nothing your elders have seen is going to prepare. There's no good advice to give that's specific. Let's put it this way. One of the things when people tell me about they're moving from one city to another, I have a phrase that nobody likes, which is every place is over. Oh, I'm moving to Austin. Yeah, it's over. Miami, it's over. Nashville, over. You know, all these places are over. And every occupation that is named is over. I'm going to be a dentist. Radiologist. Accountant. Teacher. These are all over. Whatever's coming, get flexible. Get good. Get good on a bunch of different stuff. Learn how to think across disciplines. I have no idea what's going to be left for us. But, you know, somebody's going to come out on top. And I hate to tell people that you should try to come out on top. I don't think it's healthy to have everyone trying to be world class. I think you should be able to just have a life. And I have a golden retriever. I don't know that it's the greatest golden retriever in the world. Sometimes I think it is, but it does a lot of dumb stuff. But he's my golden retriever. To the average.
So, you know, I like how he says he doesn't have any advice, but then he says get good across. I think he offered some good advice. Get good at many things. Be able to think across disciplines. Be flexible. Don't have everything tied up in one thing. And I think that's a pretty good advice. Kind of general. But he's worried about AI, and he thinks AI is going to be, you know, the end of the world. You know, AI can't, as great as AI is when you talk to it, because I actually had a short conversation with AI because I was driving and I was trying to get some information. And all AI is doing is going to the web to look at things and report back to you in sort of a conversational, hey, you're whatever you're looking for. That was a good idea, you know, trying to talk you up and give you, I guess, give you brownie points. I don't know, try to make you feel better. And maybe it'll stop doing that at some point. I don't know. But I don't think AI is as powerful as they're making it. Now, when these massive amounts of data centers come online, and they're being fought, you know, they just voted one down in San Marcos. The people said, no, we don't want a data center. Yeah, we know it's going to bring jobs. It's also going to bring higher electric bills. And where are they going to get all this water to keep these things cool? Oh, from our fresh water spring that turns into a river. Oh, that's where you want to get our water from. Nah, no, thank you. No, thank you. Because unfortunately, to make all these computers run, they need to be cooled and they need electricity. And yeah, they're going to provide a lot of jobs. But are you working yourself out of a job? And then, you know, Elon Musk says, well, there's going to be billions of robots doing things. We won't have to do anything. Well, then what's going to be our purpose? All right, let's go to... There's too many things blinking. All right, we're going to go to Duck in Chicago. He was on the longest. And then I'm going to go to Tim in California. Duck in Chicago, how are you this morning?
Rob Dew, fantastic. Thanks for taking my call. Big fan. You and I are about the same age, along with Alex, you know. So I relate to you guys the most because we've been around. We've seen the, you know, the Reagan years, the Clinton years, the, you know, the entire gambit.
We live the analog to digital transition.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something you have to experience because the amount of, oh my God, is happening on a daily rate nowadays. And I just have to say, you know, I mean, you talk about end times. I've never seen more flags saying end times than today. But, you know, I mean, just even the corruption and everything else that we see. And thank God for Uncle Badass Sam. I mean, in you know, New Orleans. I used to go to New Orleans quite a bit and walk that wharf area. And glad he's out there. But, you know, we need more people out there. But here's my issue is, you know, I work constantly just to keep above. I keep with a budget, unlike the government. And I'm trying to make ends meet. And I'm taking my tax dollars. It's supposed to watch for these evil people that are causing these issues. And it's not the case. It's we're constantly bombarded with corruption, insider trading. Even our own Congress people have turned on us. So we definitely need Trump to start prosecuting people because we've got, what, one arrest in the UK? That's pathetic.
Yep.
That they're making the first arrest. We haven't even made one arrest. And we're supposed to be more free than the UK.
So, well, and publicly, I mean, we said there's nothing to investigate if you're referring to Epstein. You're like, oh, it's a closed, it's shut. We're not arresting, we're not investigating anything with Epstein.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I think, I hate to say what the answer is because then my phone's going to be tapped and I'm going to be watched every day. But there's got to be some retribution. And I, you know, yeah, we have people out there trying to stump, you know, but it is a true statement that people on the left are getting paid, and they're getting paid big.
Yeah.
And I have a job, and most people who are good people have a job for insurance and everything else. It's very easy to get someone off the street to throw a brick at a building and mark a building and destroy a city more than we have. And we're expecting our law enforcement and our taxes to pay for this, and they are not happening. So that's what really needs to come down.
Well, our taxes are actually paying for the protesters because they're taking that tax money, funneling it to NGOs, and then go, oh, we're saving democracy. This is what we're doing.
Exactly. It's pathetic. I mean, so where does it end? And it goes back to the word I won't mention. But, you know, God bless you, Rob Dew.
Yeah.
Love you. Love you and the show. Take care.
Appreciate it. You know, you were talking about we're seeing all this corruption. I think the corruption's existed from the beginning of time. We're just seeing it now because more people have the ability to spread the word of it. And I think a lot of this stuff, you know, they wanted social media to be about people doing stupid dances and trending stuff like that and buying things. They didn't count on people like Alex Jones right as the internet was coming on to be talking about stuff like this and getting people who were also talking about this but didn't know how to get online and bringing them on his show and talking about it. Because if you look at all the people that he's ever had on his show talking about these things, almost everything they've said has happened. I mean, it's pretty scary. And I know there's a lot. He says a lot of stuff going through the years, and you're like, that can't be true. That can't be true. And it, oh, it turns out it is. You know, just talking about how it's a man-made virus. Nobody wanted to say that back in February of 2021. But we found like the two or three people who would talk about it and put them on. And who had the pedigree to, like, when they said it, it meant something. Like the guy who wrote the bioweapons treaty for the UN, Francis Boyle. You know, we never had, what was his name, Kerry Mullis on, who invented the PCR test, who said it wasn't used to, shouldn't be used to diagnose somebody of a disease. Well, he got killed in 2019 from a fast-acting pneumonia. I almost died of pneumonia in 2021. And I don't even know if I've said this. I was out to dinner. It was right before we went to Tahoe. It was me, Alex Jones, head of security, Owen Schroyer, and another security guy who's doing work with us. And everybody but Alex got sick almost immediately from that dinner. We're at a steakhouse. And I'm not going to say we got dosed with anything because I don't know that for a fact. But what I do know for a fact is that half of the waiters had masks on and half of them didn't. And the ones that didn't have masks on had just gotten the vaccine. And so they didn't have to wear masks anymore. And there's this thing called shedding. So I think we were just in this cesspool. And it'd be interesting to see who all else got sick from that day at that steakhouse in, it was in July, late July 2021. So interesting stuff. Good call. Let's go to, who do I want to go to next? I said Tim in California, I think, right? Yeah. Let's go to Tim in California. How you doing, Tim?
Hey, good morning. Doing great, Rob. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. You know, I don't always be a forecaster of doom or gloom or anything, but while I was waiting and, you know, on hold or whatever, you started talking about, you know, the capabilities of, you know, AI and so forth. And I just thought I'd mention, you know, when the Chinese balloon was flying all the way across our country without being stopped, the last night it was seen over St. Louis, Missouri. Then the next morning, when the sun came up, it was over Charlotte, North Carolina. You can take out a, you know, a little ruler and you can generally figure out the midway point and where it spent the night. And that was over America's secret city, also known as the Atomic City, and that would be Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And although it's got a lot of famous things going on, what it also has going on is, at that time, one of the, if not the world's largest supercomputer, the Frontier supercomputer, which had already reached exascale, meaning it could do 1 quintillion calculations per second.
So not quite quantum computing, but pretty close.
You get the idea. It would take all of mankind working endlessly 4 years of time to do what this thing does in a handful of seconds.
Yeah.
It does 100 years of advancement in the time that you and I will speak this morning. Anyways, I just didn't want you to think that this stuff isn't crazy, crazy. Otherwise, why did it fly over and transmit in real time back to China stuff about that? Because I suspect in large part. And by the way, just as a, oh, by the way, a matter of a week or two later, they had a uranium fire there. Well, you probably don't want a uranium fire anywhere, but that's just a weird coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah. And how many H-1B visa workers work at this place? What do you think that number is?
I do know there's tens of thousands of scientists there, and there's also tens of thousands of scientists at the Large Hadron Collider, by the way, Rob Duke.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what I called in about. What I wanted to call in about, and it's nothing bad about the Epstein thing. I agree. All of it's just awful. I even pointed out there was this big music exec here in L.A., and he's the head of the L.A.
Olympics, 28, you know, he's the head of it, and he's been asked by Mayor Bass, you've got to step down because he was having these exchanges with Ghislaine Maxwell that were a little too racy and so forth. And then they found out he was also flying around with him and all this, and okay. So now they want him to step down. But that, too, is not what I called about. I'm sorry, Rob. But just the deal is with all these things happening, that and Nancy Guthrie or the 6-3 Supreme Court decision, we missed little stories that would have been big stories. Like, how about this one? Driver armed with a flamethrower. Rams, Los Angeles Department of Water and Power substation. Impossible terrorism-related event. Okay, how about this one? Stolen ambulance doused in gasoline rammed into Idaho ICE facility.
I did see that one. I didn't see the flamethrower driver. That's an interesting one.
How about this one? Toxic chemical poured on Kennedy Center ice rink. Performance canceled.
I saw that. Yeah, these were small stories. They got a blip. They were a blip. Do you think this is a wider effort going on right now with leftists or what? What do you think's happening?
Well, just the point is the oxygen in the room can be consumed where we don't see any of the other stuff.
Sure.
But the real big stuff, of course, is going to be that you let 20 million people in unvetted from 180 countries, many of which expressly have declared and acted all their lives in wanting to kill us all. That's their dream of their life. And they're here. And many of them, you have to believe, are, you know, at least tens of thousands of them, I would think. It's just my estimate. I'm just a humble guy. But I would guess there's at least tens of thousands of them just waiting on the word to say go kind of thing. And they're going to do just awful things, whatever these awful things are. And I wouldn't even be surprised to learn if they ended up doing something at least as awful or worse awful than September 11th. And I could think of things that are worse, but I wouldn't even mention them. But I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. Not too long ago, I called into Brianna when I saw where there's this company, ARMR Sciences. And she was the one that pointed out they're backed up by the Pentagon or the State Department or whatever. All I knew is they'd finished their animal trials. They're now moving on to human trials. And it's going to be a vaccine that they want everybody to take, and the reason why is to defend us against, you know, bioweaponry. And what they're talking about is, like, if all of a sudden, let's say, just as a for instance, drones started spraying us with fentanyl, and their first target is fentanyl. So they're working on something where if everyone will take a vaccine for this fentanyl thing, then if we did in fact get sprayed with fentanyl as a bioterrorism incident or whatever, we got a 90-something percent chance of survival. One of the other oddities, too, is she pointed out that it only lasts effectively for like a year. So you'll need a booster, okay?
Yeah, and who knows what's in that? It's made out of monkey pus. Hey, you know, it's interesting. What you just talked about, spraying people with fentanyl, there was actually a plan. A group called the Sunshine Project put this out in the late 90s. And Alex talked about it. I can probably find the clip of him talking about it. And it was basically Marine helicopters in every major city would launch and they would gas the entire city with some sort of knockout gas, which fentanyl knocks you out essentially before it kills you. You know, there's a dosage that'll knock you out, and then a little more, it's going to kill you. So you've got, and that could be, because it doesn't take a lot of fentanyl to get a lot of people. So that could be the vector, is fentanyl gassing people through helicopters and through the military. Because I don't put anything, you know, hold on, 30% of the military in 1990 said they would fire on Americans and confiscate their guns if ordered to do so. That was in 1990. That was the 29 Palm survey. What do you think it is now? Probably a lot higher.
Yeah. I even saw another story the other day, and they were showing the chemicals of some guy that they busted into or whatever, and there was nanothermite in there. I'm like, wait a minute. Isn't that the same nanothermite that burned underneath the Twin Towers for months and months and months after the Twin Towers came down?
It looked like a foundry. It was molten lava. That's what the New Yorkers were saying. Those firemen. They were like, it was like a foundry. And they showed video of like molten metal pouring off of, you know, different areas or whatever they were cleaning up.
And as Chase Geiser, I once reported to him, and he will remember, when they had this train coming out of, you know, somewhere in the desert, coming down here into some other place in the desert, and lo and behold, they ended up losing like 30 tons of that same chemical that they used to blow up the Oklahoma City bombing thing or whatever.
Yeah, the fertilizer.
Yeah, I forgot what it's called. But anyway, the exact same thing. But they said that the explanation was it was in one of those hopper cars and it was in pellet form, like little kitty litter pellets. And they said it was just slightly open. And then that 400-mile journey, it actually just shook loose.
Oh, yeah.
But imagine opening the doors and realizing it's all gone.
Right.
And, okay, maybe that's what happened.
Let's come up with an explanation. Yeah.
What happens if that's not what happened? Then where is all that? And how much do you need to do something?
I saw Breaking Bad. I know how they did this. They stopped the train. They hooked the hose up and suck it all out. You know?
Oh, good.
We know how that works.
I didn't see it. Maybe I should. Oh, my God.
It's a good episode. Tim, hey, what's your X account, Tim? I'm going to give you a follow.
I don't have one.
You should be putting this out on X.
You know what? What I'm like is Bitcoin. I'm anonymous and I'm permissionless.
You can still be anonymous on X.
I've been famous before. That's why I'm tired of being famous. I don't need to be famous anymore. Maybe off air I'll tell you who I am and you'll really be surprised.
Oh, I might. Hey, find out who he is. Tell the call screener and he'll tell me when I let you go here. Thanks for calling, Tim. I appreciate it. I could have you on for hours. You got a lot of great news.
All right.
You got a nose for news, Tim. That's for sure. Stay safe out there in California. Let's go to one more caller, before I got Godzilla in Wisconsin and Don in Michigan. I'll get to you, Don. I'll get to you in the next break if Godzilla goes too long, but let's hear from Godzilla in Wisconsin.
Hey, Rob Dew. Yeah. I think we're either going to have the great reset, a good reset, or a hard reset up in here, you know, and with these Epstein documents, a couple points I wanted to bring up real quick was, I don't know if you saw over the weekend, it went viral on X with a clip from the Kardashian show where they're eating human placenta and eating what appears to be like human meat. And they're talking about it just like the emails, you know, this elitism.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe that's what the jerky is. Maybe they're eating placenta.
Yeah. You know, and what's weird is, like, it seems like these elites, they're also just doing it for, like, the trendiness of it.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
totally. Like, yeah.
It's super trendy for them to eat the goy children.
Oh, we eat humans now. It's cool.
You know, we're good enough for slaves and cannon fodder and prostitutes, but apparently we're the inferior race. It's like, okay. But that was a weird clip. And she was just recently trying to pass the bar exam, Kim Kardashian, and she went into the doctor because she was having trouble passing the bar. And the doctor, neurologist, did brain scans, and lo and behold, she had a bunch of holes in her brain, like mad cow disease, you know, prion illness, but with humans, you know, if you eat the same flesh you're made out of.
Wow.
You know, so it's like that's a clear signifier of kudu illness, which is what had one of the side effects.
Mm-hmm.
Of cannibalism, you know, so there's a signifier right there. Kanye should get his kids back. Obviously, you can't be a cannibal and have kids, you know. They should, you know, Kanye was right in that one. Kanye should definitely get his kids back. And then also, real quick, I know you got other callers. On Friday, it was on X, and over the weekend it was viral that there was a person in Canada on the street who looked like a clone of Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, I saw that. I almost played that, but some people were saying it was AI. Do you think it was AI, or you think that was real?
Maybe. A couple of the first frames you can see, but it's worth looking into that the person they have in the courthouse does not look like her.
That's true, too. Yeah, yeah.
The courthouse lady does not look like some old Consuela maid or something.
Right. No, you make good points there. We'll be right back. There's the picture of that, still of that. Yeah, it looks a lot.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain. and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things it protects you from. Why methylene blue works. It does. It counters that. It's
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feeling, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's, yeah. It's
so this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones's methylene blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios, and I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, I've just been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on.
This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I got to tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
All right, Willie Nelson brings us into the final segment of today's edition of The American Journal. Coming up next, starting at 11, going until 3 p.m. is The Alex Jones Show. And then after that, 3 to 6 p.m. is Harrison Smith with The War Room. And that's our broadcast day, 10 hours a day live, thanks to you out there supporting us. We don't get NGO money. We don't get George Soros money. We get money from people who want to take care of their bodies and are patriots and want to wear patriot gear. And one way to do that is to go to thealexjonesstore.com, where right now, and this is through Wednesday the 25th at midnight, so you got a couple days to take advantage of this, $10 off with every order. So you order something, you get $10 off right there. You don't have to put a promo code in. You don't have to type in something. You don't have to do anything like that. You don't have to find a link. It's just, boom, $10 off. So check that out. And I would say, if anything, become a VIP member, because they do give, there's a really amazing deal right now for the VIPs. And yeah, I'll just, I don't know how long that deal is going to last, but you definitely want to check it out. So, and before we go, we're going to go to Don in Michigan, but I do want to play this. Came out. Oh, it, I think this is a Trump impersonator, but I'll play it for you guys. And this is on C-SPAN. A guy named John Barron calls in, which is a known alias of Donald Trump. John Barron calls in, talking about the Supreme Court going after his tariff deals, which has brought in a lot of money to the country. And they seem to say, no, no, we got to be globalists. So here's the, here's that call. Clip six.
Well, this is John Barron, and you have, look, you have, this is the worst decision you've ever had in your life, practically. Jack, and Jack's going to agree with me, right? But this is a terrible decision, and you have Hakeem Jeffries, who, he's a dope, and you have Chuck Schumer, who can't cook a cheeseburger. Of course these people are happy. Of course these people are happy. But true Americans will not be happy. And you have the woman earlier, I assume she's a woman, she's a Democrat, but she said she's disgraced. She's devastated.
All right,
by
John.
This.
We'll go to Chester, who's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Democratic caller.
How could she hang up on me like that? I don't think that was Trump. What do you guys think? Trump? Nah. Nah, yeah, I don't think it was Trump. It was a Trump impersonator. Because I don't think Trump would have hit Senator Schumer with the burger analogy. I just don't think that's not his thing. I don't think Trump even understands how things are cooked. He just knows food comes to him cooked. Which there was a, it was taco day when Trump was eating his taco bowl and somebody put a bat, put the bat soup in it. That's one of my favorite Trump memes. All right, let's go to Don in California, driver of, I'm pretty sure, the Infomobile, the InfoWars station wagon. Don, how you doing today?
Hey, Rob, I'm doing good. I'm up here in Michigan, though.
Yep. Is that what I said? What did I say?
Yeah. You said California.
Oh, I said California. I'm sorry. I meant Michigan. I'm looking right at your... Don in Michigan.
Rob, did you happen to catch me having Alex playing on my tablet at the county commission meeting last week? I would kill their lies, because they had a meeting at the public library, and it was about misinformation and disinformation, and nobody sent me the memo on it, because I would have loved to have gone to that one. But they're going to have a couple more in the future. But I would have loved to have gone there and talked about fake news and everything.
Yeah, and you're one of these people that we need more of. We need more people out there with bullhorns. You've gone to protests. You were at the No Kings protest counter-protesting. You've got this amazing info wagon. You're like, what should I do with it? I'm like, keep it going. You know, InfoWars, if the InfoWars name goes away for some reason, the concept will still be there. Fighting the InfoWars never going to end, no matter what. And you're one of those people out there that's really walking the walk and should be an inspiration to a lot of people. And more people need to be doing what you're doing.
I appreciate that, Rob. I'm also a precinct delegate, so I go to the I'm going to the state convention here, and I'm always plugging the most banned network in the world. And trying to get behind the proper candidates here. We don't want a bunch of fake-ass people running and pretending.
Yeah. What part of Michigan are you in?
I'm in Cadillac, Michigan, northern Michigan, Wexford County.
Okay. So that's interesting. Like, the northern part of Michigan, like the Upper Peninsula and all that other stuff, very conservative. And then you get down to, like, Detroit. Well, that's where they stole the election.
Yes. I'm not in the Upper Peninsula. I'm in the northern lower peninsula by Traverse City.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've only driven through there once. We came in from Canada after doing an interview through Sault Ste. Marie.
I hope you stop by Cadillac next time you're around. I just found out I missed Joe Biggs and Stuart Rhodes. They were just down in Detroit a couple days ago, and I could have went down there and met them, but I got their contact information now, and I'm in contact with both of them, and hopefully I can run into those guys sometimes next time they come back to Michigan.
Yeah, those are good guys. In fact, I got a text from Kristen Megan over the weekend. She was hanging out with him.
Yes, absolutely.
So, all right. Anything else, Don?
God bless you, buddy.
Hey, man, thanks for all the work you do. We appreciate the promotions you do out there in the real world, IRL. Here's an interesting post I saw, and I need to get more information on this, but it says Brazilian scientists spent 40 years perfecting bacteria that feeds crops nitrogen from the air. Her $2 treatment now replaces $50 fertilizers, saves farmers $25 billion a year, and prevents 23 million tons of CO2 emissions. She just won the World Food Prize. And then someone says, she's not suicidal. Her car brakes are working. She knows how to swim. She's loved by her family. Bear, we're watching you. And, you know, the whole fertilization aspect of how we get our food, you know, through nitrogen fertilizers, and the process of making nitrogen fertilizers is really nasty. So if we could figure out a way to not do that, that, you know, they didn't even get into that. Like when you make fertilizer, like one of the byproducts is hydrofluorosilicic acid, which is, you know, what did they do with that? Well, they put that in your tap water. Okay. They take this poison, hydrofluorosilicic acid, that will kill you if you get in contact with it. And they go, oh, here, tap water. That's how we'll dilute it, because we don't want to pay to put this stuff anywhere. So just something to think about when they, so it's good to see something like this, which, you know, could possibly in the future get rid of a lot of nitrogen fertilizers. No doubt she probably will be killed and all her work will be confiscated by the powers that be. Let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Lester in West Virginia. Talk about the UFO disclosures. I think you called in last time I was on. I didn't get to you, Lester. How you doing today?
Hey, good to speak with you again, Rob. Uh-huh. Always to speak with WVU alumni.
Go Mountaineers.
Mountaineers. Hey, Rob, just wanted to, why are we not, like, flipping out over this? Like, I mean, really, I mean, I know it was a problem. Everybody knew that aliens were, but why are we not at a level that we're like, hey, tell us right now? Because the sitting president just said, yes, they're out there.
I think it's going to be a whole lot of nothing. Every time they talk about a UFO disclosure, there's a lot of hype around it. And because there's so much hype about it, I believe it's bull. I think what we're looking at is, government craft. I mean, we just had the caller talk about this computer in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, that's doing 100 years worth of research while, you know, we had our conversation. I don't know if that's true, but Oak Ridge, Tennessee is where they did a lot of crazy stuff with nuclear power, and it wouldn't surprise me if they have an amazing supercomputer there. I think the aliens aren't necessarily from other planets. I think they're from other dimensions. I think they come from, you know, people messing with the unseen, because, you know, we're sitting here in an environment and you could take, you know, a few puffs of DMT and suddenly see stuff you ain't never seen before and talk to creatures that'll have conversations with you. There's accounts of this, endless accounts of this, of different types of creatures, some very nice and they say, you know, that love mankind, and some that are evil and don't have our best intentions there. And so, you know, what are they communicating with at the Large Hadron Collider? You know, what are they communicating with these people doing DMD trips? You know, that's what I think you're going to find. It's not going to be a flying saucer necessarily, but I could be wrong. But, your phone was breaking up a little bit. Hopefully your signal's better now, but what do you think we're going to see?
I'm hoping to see, like, the truth. I mean, I'm from, me and you, same age, I'm from that X-Files era.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to see the truth come out about this, because if there is aliens and we've met them, what technology have they shared? I mean, why is people not like, hey, wait a minute, there's another thing out there? Tell us right now. I mean, like, because I am. I'm kind of panicked about it, actually. I mean, because, you know, I don't know what to, you know, I don't know any information.
Well, as they say, keep calm and listen to InfoWars. I think if aliens were here, they would have, and they meant us harm, they would have made their presence known already. But maybe these aliens are so slick that they have created a society where they walk around as humans, you know, the they live scenario.
Rob, one more thing.
All scenarios are plausible at this point. I'm taking nothing off the table. Lester, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. One more thing, if I can.
Sure.
How do I get a media package to you?
You can email it to me, or I guess you can mail. I tell you what, send me an email.
Okay.
Robd, R-O-B-D at Infowars.com, and then I'll get in touch with you. Just put, hey, this is Lester or something in the subject line.
Okay, cool.
And,
thanks, Rob.
And we'll take it from there. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
All right, buddy, have a good one. Let's go to Sean in California, has a Magna Carta history rant. So I guess we're going back in time with Sean. Sean, how you doing today?
Hey, Rob, I'm doing well. Am I coming in loud and clear for you?
Coming in loud and clear.
Hey, I want to thank you for hosting me a couple of weeks ago on the War Room. And I had to bring up Magna Carta because last Wednesday, towards the end of the calls, Brianna Morella had a caller who said the only way we're going to get change out of government is force or finance. And clearly, not a student of history, the Magna Carta, while the legend is that it was delivered on the point of a sword, it was somewhere between 14 days to 21 days of negotiations, depending on which accounts you read. So the people can get change out of government if you have to use that marriage between First Amendment to tell someone what you know, what you want, like King John, you don't want to be taxed to death. And then you deliver it with the Second Amendment nearby saying, hey, if you keep it on this path, yes, we have to, you know, resort to violence. And the Magna Carta, depending on which kings in England want to play politics and be populist, they'd either use it or dismiss it, but it still exists. It's such a big deal that it had to be revised recently by that globalist monster King Charles. A couple of years ago, he released what's called the Terra Carta, which is supposed to be a charter for the earth, which also tells you what the ego of the King of England is. So, you know, Rob, wanted to follow up with that, and also with what badass Uncle Sam is doing and what Tim is doing with the bullhorning and everything. That's, you know, the equivalent of getting the optics, getting the InfoWar message out there. We bring it home, bring it together, create notices, and assemble lawfully and tell our officials what they want. The folks going to City Hall, if it's in writing, they got to respond to it. If you're yelling at them, it's good to get people's attention. Like you said, maybe have the person turn their back to those representatives because they're not going to pay attention unless they're served a notice or put into a process. That's just how their system operates
right. Until
we replace them.
Yeah, so, no, I agree with that. I like turning the back on the councils, addressing the audience, and then delivering the letters of intent and letters of notification. And that's what they need. They need to be put on notice. They need to be put on notice, and they need to be told, listen, this isn't going to stand anymore. We're going to start harassing you with lawsuits. You know, this goes both ways. You're harassing us over water bills and grass that's 3 inches too high. Well, we're going to start harassing you on, you know, stealing from the public dole.
Well, we got to watch how we do that, Rob, because they will try to call it paper terrorism. That's why you want to do a one and done. And when you assemble, have your list of grievances and the remedies they can take, that's where you watch and follow up with them. You don't come after them every week, you know, with a different, you know, notice and a different document. Usually most of these things boil down to root causes. And one of the most clear ones is they violate their oath of office. They breach their contract with we the people. So you can remedy it real simple and real smooth. And I'd love to hear, you know, what other guests have to think about that. So I'm going to yield to you, Rob, because I'm with you guys from morning till afternoon. Listen to you all day long at work with my phone on speaker so others get to hear it too.
All right. I'm sure the Karens over there are screeching in California.
Oh, they are. But what are they going to do? I'm the security chief. So it's like, they're going to complain to security about it?
Touche. All right, Sean, thanks for the call. Great history rant. I'm with you on that. Yes. You know, they delivered the Magna Carta at the point of a sword, basically saying, here, King, this is our list of demands. And when you're talking about the Terra Carta, it was Prince Charles's, or he's now King Charles's father, who said he wanted to come back as a disease and kill most of humanity. That's the kind of people who write charters for the earth. You know, there's one thing of being a good steward of the earth, and there's another thing about making the earth over humanity. No, you can't be a good steward if the earth is over you, okay? So, you know, we want to drink clean water. We want to breathe clean air. We're not the ones chemtrailing and putting hydrofluorosilicic acid in the water supply. That's you, globalists. That's what you're doing. All right, let's go to, speaking of Karens, let's go to Karen in California. wants to talk about Trump versus RFK on glyphosate. Go ahead, Karen.
I don't know why they're picking on Massey also for wanting not to put this cancer-causing product all over our food supply.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, they don't even use it as like a weed killer anymore. They just take all the wheat instead of just, you know, because a weed killer you'd spray on the ground where the plant's growing up, say the wheat's growing up, you're spraying it on the ground. Now they go, we've harvested the wheat, we're going to spread it out in some sort of drying area and then spray it all with glyphosate because that helps dry out the weed quicker. Like, it just sounds diabolical.
Well, it is diabolical, and it also now, when you do get cancer or whatever disease that they can attribute to it, you can't sue.
Right. Yeah, and I think we need to all back RFK Jr. I know he's come out and put his thing out where it's like, well, you know, we're not going to – we got to stick to him and say, listen, you got to get rid of this. For him to say that we wouldn't have a food industry, big agri, unless we spray poison on our food is – what is that akin to? That's akin to saying our government's going to – be destroyed if we expose the pedophiles that are running the government. You know, it's like, no, we can have clean food. It's been shown that we can have clean food without putting this stuff on it. Now, can we have big business like this? Maybe not. Maybe it's got to change. Okay. Well, let's find people who want to farm areas and let them farm areas using other means than just spraying poison on everything, because we do have a problem with the breads. A lot of people can't even eat bread anymore. I try to stay away from bread unless it's homemade sourdough bread. But even that, it's made from wheat that's been sprayed with glyphosate. You have to go to Europe to get wheat that's not contaminated with this stuff. It's disgusting that we'd have to do that. And they're like, no, it's normal. Well, you know what? They feed all the people in Europe without glyphosate-infused bread. Why can't we do it here?
Susie and Pam working against us. They're protecting lobbyists, and they're protecting the pharmaceuticals. So how do we get ahead?
Well, one way you do this is you don't buy bread that's been sprayed with glyphosate. And I think what you're going to see, you know, people started bitching about high fructose corn syrup. And then you started seeing a few years ago, no high fructose corn syrup. You started seeing, they said, okay, we'll start using sugar again. You don't like high fructose corn syrup? Okay, fine. So you have to start buying bread without glyphosate in it. Well, it's going to cost a lot more money. So, hey, you're probably going to eat a lot less bread. I eat a lot less bread now. You know, when they're like, hey, you want a burger? Nah, I'll just take the meat. I don't need a burger bun on top of that. I ate at a place yesterday, and they, instead of having tortillas, they made something out of cornmeal. Although corn is probably sprayed with Roundup too. Everything's being sprayed. Now you're breaking up there, Karen. Speak right into your phone. Karen, I'm going to have to see the manager if you don't speak into the phone directly. I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been having a little trouble with my phone.
There you go. Now I can hear you.
Thank you for taking my call. You know Trump isn't going to be eating all this stuff. He's going to have his own protected food supply. He should.
I mean, Trump eats at McDonald's. I don't think he cares. I don't think he knows what this stuff does. Because, you know, unless you have these allergies or you get this way and then you start, like, messing with your diet and you figure out, oh, I was eating this stuff. It doesn't agree with my system. You don't know. You know, I just think Trump is not wired in that direction to care that much about what he eats. He drinks Diet Coke. He eats McDonald's. I mean, there's RFK Jr. You know, I notice Elon's meals are all closed up. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm not eating this stuff. Although he did look like he ate some fries, which the fries, the process of making a McDonald's fry is totally poisonous. They take these potatoes and they spray them with so much crap. They have to lock them into a room and let them off gas for like 3 weeks before they can even go into the building. And that's to get the perfect fry. I guarantee you, I had fries last night at a place and they weren't McDonald's fries and they were awesome. So you can make a fry that doesn't have to be immersed in poison for 3 weeks before you can even go near the potato. I mean, we have that ability.
Well, they reuse the oil. You're not supposed to be reusing oil, re-cooking with it. It becomes toxic.
Sure.
There too.
And when they're using crappy oil too. You know, let's talk. The oil they use now used to be like for lubrication of engines. You know, the seed oils. So,
really? Yeah,
we got a lot of problems. We got a lot of problems that need to be solved. But what you have to do, you have to take responsibility for yourself and what you're putting in your body. So cook with beef tallow. Don't eat out as much. If you eat out, go to restaurants that care about their people, that are at least trying. You know, they might not all be effective, but at least they're trying. So thanks for the call, Karen. I got time. I guess we got a last call. Leslie in Nevada. Is this Leslie the witch with the peacock familiar?
Absolutely it is. Absolutely. Good to talk to you again, Rob.
All right. Okay, you made quite a splash in the last show.
Well, fantastic. I will tell Angel he will be very impressed that he was so well received.
Yeah.
He's looking at me through the kitchen window demanding peanut butter. So I wanted to talk to you about the CIA, the Democrats, and that easy connection and why they're finding it so easy to get so many people to do what they want them to do.
All right.
It has to do with the number of anthropology majors at your typical university. Anthropology is a great field. Got a degree in it myself. Incredibly fascinating and useful. One of the things it's useful for is training people how to infiltrate groups and get useful information and translate that to the group that you're working for. Works whether you're developing a cartoon ad campaign for Marlboro to get younger smokers, or if you are trying to infiltrate, say, a terrorist organization and figure out what they're doing. Anthropologists, that's what they're trained to do. And so the entire anthropology department is like spy training. And in fact, at West Virginia University, where I attended, the criminal justice and sociology and anthropology departments were all the same departments with the same staff. So you've got people who are training cops, who are training anthropologists, who are training cops. And it's all a big soup. And when I went to graduate school, it got even worse. Art Rohn, who was one of my instructors, was doing underwater archaeology in the Mediterranean. Oh, my God, who wouldn't want to do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I asked some of the other grad students, so they're like, oh, yeah, well, okay, if you want to go play with the CIA, I guess it's a good time, but I don't feel like being political.
Hey, I got 20 seconds left. I ended up at this, I was at a hotel and it was a conference of anthropologists. The biggest bunch of leftists I'd ever met in my life. I couldn't believe. I'm like, you guys are scientists? It was nothing but leftist talking points all across the board. It was like an insane asylum that I was in. Thanks for watching. Alex Jones shows up next. You can follow me at Dews News, DWS and EWZ.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy and he got me on methylene blue and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.